Blog Talk Radio.
I thank it for me. Yes, I am. Ring bang dana day. Dang dana day. Tell me. A revolution. Yeah. I'm on fight for revolution. Ring dang dana day. Dang dana day. A revolution, yeah. Rasta tight up that revolution, yeah. Dang-da-da-da, check me. Some hardware people down from out and them a make big speech. But poor people the food not reach. I'm enough to wonder how them really sleep. Them living in the pool while the poor are feel the heat. Red country. Why it's red country. Why you know the ghetto part of town. You ain't nothing but a victim. We're just trapped in a political system. There ain't no one to say let alone. If you hit the big man a gunshot, them broke your bone with stone. Why? So a revolution, yeah. I'm on site a revolution. Coming in a Babylon. A revolution, yeah. A hot revolution. Ring bang da da ding, bang da da ding. Head of government, what is your aim? Where is the plan? Where is the future for the younger generation? If there's no light at the end of the tunnel, well, young your son, I go red like hell. For man, the peas are cooked, but the rice can't swell. For no more big speech. Time to come action, crime and the violence rampant in our nation. People say it's because of suffering, son. There's got to be a revolution, yeah. What a hot a revolution, wriggling in a Babylon land, yeah. A revolution, yeah. Guns, knives and cutlass revolution. Dang da da dang, dang da da dang. All you false leaders, I brand you as traitors. Nothing but whoremongers, idol worshippers, them assassins. Yo, you better come down off of your pumps and try to pick in poor people for a joyride. Cause all your teeth is to divide and rule, and I use the people then with your political tools, your fool. Sure, cause a revolution, yeah. If we're going to see the revolution, ring dang da da ding, dang da da ding. A revolution, yeah. What a hot revolution, ding da dang da dang da dang da dang. Whoa, whoa. No matter how them a come out and a skin off them teeth, yet the poor man the food not reach. Tell them all to practice what they preach. Cause I don't want to see them all a playing speech. Whoa, cause a revolution, yeah. I'm on fire for revolution. Ring dang da da dang da da dang. A revolution.
Yes, greetings and welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob. Here at Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, I wanted to talk to a friend of mine, Mr. Moody. We had some interesting conversations earlier. I want to expand on that a little bit. But one thing that stood out and it almost slipped by me was that Mr. Moody is a black Republican. Ooh. Ooh. But this is a good brother, though. And he's got some interesting ideas. So I'm not going to go ahead and go into into a big long spiel about it. I want to go ahead here, but I want to play something real quick. We'll come back, set the mood.
Niggas are scared of revolution, but niggas shouldn't be scared of revolution, because revolution is nothing but change, and all niggas do is change. Niggas come in for murk and change into pimping clothes, into streets to make some quick change. Niggas change their hair from black to red to blonde, and old black hair and lips will change. Niggas kill other niggas just because one didn't receive the correct change. Niggas change from men to women, from women to men. Niggas change, change, change. You hear niggas say, things are changing, things are changing. Yeah, things are changing. Nigga things into black nigga things. Black nigga things that go through all kinds of changes. The change in the day that makes it rap and made black power, and the change that comes over them at night as they sigh and moan. Night sighs. Night sighs. Niggas always going through bullshit change. But when it comes for real change, niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are actors. Niggas are actors. Niggas act like they're in a hurry to catch the first act of a great white hope. Niggas try to act like Malcolm. And when a white man doesn't react toward them like he did Malcolm, niggas want to act violently. Niggas act so cool and slick, causing white people to say, what makes your niggas act like that? Niggas act like you ain't never seen nobody act before. But when it comes to acting out revolution, niggas say, I can't dig in action. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are very untogether people. Niggas talk about getting high and riding around in L's. Niggas to get high and ride to hell. Niggas talk about pimping, pimping that, pimping what? Pimping yours, pimping mine. Just to be pimping is a hell of a line. Niggas are very untogether people. Niggas talk about your mind, talk about my mind stronger than yours. I got that bitch's mind upside. Niggas don't know a damn thing about the mind, but they be right. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas fuck. Niggas fuck, fuck, fuck. Niggas love the word fuck. They've been there so fucking cute. They fuck you around. The first thing they say when they're mad is fuck it. You play a little too much for them, they say fuck you. When it's time to TTB, niggas are somewhere fucking trying to be nice to them. They fuck over you. Niggas don't realize while they're doing all this fucking, they're getting fucked around. But when they do realize, it's too late. So niggas just get fucked up. Niggas talk about fucking, fucking that, fucking this, fucking yours, fucking my sis, not knowing what they're fucking for. I ain't fucking for love and appreciation, just fucking to be fucking. Niggas fuck white thighs, black thighs, yellow thighs, brown thighs. Niggas fuck ankles when they went out of size. Niggas fuck Stalin, Linda, and Sue. And if you don't mind out, niggas will fuck you. Niggas will fuck, fuck if it could be fuck. But when it comes to fucking for revolutionary causes, niggas say fuck revolution. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are players. Niggas are players, are players. Niggas play football, baseball, and basketball while the white man is cutting off their balls. When a nigga's play ain't tight enough to play with some black thighs, niggas play with white thighs to see if they still have some play left. And when ain't no white thighs to play with, niggas play with themselves. Niggas tell you they're ready to be liberated, but when you say, let's go take our liberation, niggas reply, I was just playing. Niggas are playing with revolution and losing. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas do a lot of shooting. Niggas do a lot of shooting. Niggas shoot off at the mouth. Niggas shoot blue. Niggas shoot traps. Niggas cut around the corners and shoot down the streets. Niggas shoot sharp branches at white women. Niggas shoot dope until they're on. Niggas shoot guns and rifles on New Year's Eve. A new year, if that is coming in, the white police would do more shooting at them. Where are niggas when the revolution needs some shot? Yeah, you know, niggas are somewhere shooting this shit. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are lovers. Niggas are lovers, are lovers. Niggas love to see Clark Gable make love to Marilyn Monroe. Niggas love to see Todd and fuck over Native. Niggas love to hit an old ranger girl high on silver. Niggas love commercials. Niggas love commercials. Oh, how niggas love commercials. You can take niggas out of the country, but You can't take the country out of niggas. Niggas are lovers, are lovers, are lovers. Niggas love to hear Malcolm rap, but they didn't love Malcolm. Niggas love everything but themselves. But I'm a lover too. Yep, I'm a lover too. I love niggas, I love niggas, I love niggas. Because niggas are me, and I should only love that which is me. I love to see niggas go through changes, love to see niggas act, love to see niggas make them plays and shoot the shit. But there's one thing about niggas I do not love. Niggas are scared of revolution.
Greetings and welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio. Yes, we're going to be talking to Mr. Moody, Mr. Maurice Moody, the Black Republican. But I want him to get some views on certain things. Right now, I want him to go ahead and explain before we get started, because there seems to be a misconception. So what is a Black Republican and what is a Black conservative? Mr. Moody, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right, Chef Rob. It's good to be with you tonight, and I want to first start off by thanking you for giving me an opportunity to come on your show. Also want to thank you for the vibrant conversation that we had today and how you showed great respect for my views. Being a Black Republican is not a very exciting thing to be at no time. And the difference between a Black Republican and a conservative is really, there's really no difference. It's just that on the conservative side, there are a few more, how would I say it? There are a few more ideals or principles that are embraced and just being a regular Republican. Conservatives feel like regular Republicans, limited government, that this system that we live under is based off of an economy that is driven on its own merits. So that's just a basic overview of the difference between the two. Me, myself, sometimes I kind of teeter because even though I'm politically active in that one field, I still believe in limited government. I still believe that every man should pull himself up by his own bootstraps. There are times when men need help or women need help. And I think that it's a good thing that we have a government that can reach out and help those individuals, but it should only be for that period of time that they need that help. And a lot of our social programs that are in full force right now were not really meant or intended to be permanent like they seem to have become, but they were just enacted to help people over a hump. And somehow it has moved away from that to what they call the entitlement program. You're entitled to welfare. You're entitled to food stamps. You're entitled to this. You're entitled to that. A lot of times those entitlements steal the ingenuity and the spirit of an individual to get out and create a life for themselves. One of the biggest problems that I see in the African-American community is that we don't strive to be more than what we are. We always use this phrase when we were in slavery. Let me wake some people up tonight. We ain't never been in slavery. We were born free. And it's an insult in my book to the slaves, because those individuals that were in slavery managed to do more with less than we're doing today. We have more and we're doing less, and they had less and they did more is what I meant to say. They had less and they did more. Most of our historical Black colleges were started by slaves. former slaves because they didn't have an education, but they wanted to make sure that their children had education. And so several years ago, I was a Democrat, and there were just some things that did not jive with me. There were some harsh realities that I began to look at and which led me down the road that I basically am on now. And you know, just to point out a few, in my travails and in my travels and in my ups and in my downs and in this political arena, I've embraced some truths, and I really don't have any numbers tonight. Maybe we can do this again and I can actually bring some numbers on, but
Yeah, we can do it again because, you know, we're gonna be talking so long.
Yeah. But just
let me ask you one
thing. Go ahead.
Okay, good. Well, slavery, that institution was a harsh thing, but the mindset of the individuals who enslaved our people, I think that mindset is out of instances. It's just I feel that the chains are gone. There's still restrictions and stuff going on today. So you don't feel that way?
Most definitely. I mean, I'm trying to remember the name of the individual that wrote the Willie Lynch letter. I mean, he spelled it out. He told the slave owners when they brought him to do a training on how to make a slave a better person. The Willie Lynch letter, he basically explained to them that, you know, how you make slaves better is you pit the house slave against the field slave, and you put into them this thing of distrust, and you know, and you pit the light skin against the dark skin, and all of those things are prevalent today. So, you know, I don't want nobody to get the impression or leave this dialogue feeling like I'm just another Uncle Tom Negro out here that's just popping off at the mouth to get some attention or to get some publicity. I'm looking at harsh realities, and I'm looking at things that we do, and when we do them, we don't really understand the magnitude of the way we're doing them. We say one thing out of one side of our mouth, but we do another thing. Give you a classic example. Most black people are against vouchers. That was something when I joined the Republican Party, I became what they call a whooping boy. I would run with the programs and run with the things that they wanted to roll out, you know, changing the Social Security retirement thing and you know, a lot of different programs that we came out with. But one of the things I noticed when I was wrestling with what side of the fence I was going to be on was this education piece. Now, we all say we want public education and we want our children to, you know, have the best education that they could get. But do you know that there are a vast majority of black families who send their children to private schools? And most
and
of those private
here's something else before you get too far. There's another lot of blacks, a lot of us out here don't want to even go ahead and put back your kids into the system at all. We'd rather go ahead and homeschool. And that's one thing I'm an advocate for is homeschool because the private schools are not a good thing for us either. It's still going with someone else's curriculum. So
yeah,
if the school is much better. It can teach a kid better family values than going to public school or private school.
True, and I was going to get to that, but one of the things that I noticed, and I noticed this because of being in the arena of dealing with a lot of African-American people, that I knew and had heard of and had seen and had witnessed people who would work two jobs to send their child to a Catholic school but take them to a Baptist church on Sunday, and they wonder why the child is confused. The child is confused because Monday through Friday, the priests and the nuns are telling them to pray to Mary Mother of Jesus, and on Sunday, the preacher is hooping and hollering and sweating out a tailor-made shirt and a silk tie. But you're sending your child because you want your child to have an advantage. Our problem is economics. Period. Point blank. Because
but you got some people who say our problem is economics. So I want you to explain to me why you think our problem is economics.
Reason why I say our problem is economics is because economics is what drives everything in your personal life, in your political life, in your business life, in your community life. Economics is what makes you who you are and enables you to do what you do. You cannot send your child to a private school if you ain't got money to pay for it. You cannot move your child into a nice neighborhood if you don't have the money to pay the mortgage on the house that you just bought.
Mm-hmm.
Your community cannot thrive if the money that because we don't have a problem. We don't have a financial problem in the black community. The problem that we have is keeping the money in the community.
Okay, so what would be one of the better ways to keep the money? Oh, hold on. What would be one of the better ways to keep the money into the community? What would you suggest?
One of the better ways to keep the money into the community is that we need to start shopping with one another. We need to start. See, and this is some things that I have grown into and I've moved away from. I don't care nothing about margin. I don't care nothing about Habib that opened up a liquor store and getting the community dry. Let me tell you something. If you get the people in the community dry, Habib got to move. There's nobody to buy his alcohol. Those Korean stores, if you quit going in there buying the half from them and buy it from a black-owned store, they got to move. You ain't got to march against them.
Okay, so Habib and the Koreans, so what do you replace that with?
You replace it with small black-owned businesses that are supported by the people in the community, and at the same time, those businesses support the community. They put.
But you just said it earlier about dealing with the Willie Lynch letter. We don't have a system in place to go ahead and put things in to replace those stores, those businesses. Besides, the Willie Lynch letter is going ahead has pretty much come true in a lot of instances. But we got that distrust amongst one another. So those are two marks against us. So how do you combat them two?
That's where our work begins, Chef Rob. That's where our work begins, to start trying to dialogue with one another, to start trying to trust one another, to start trying to work with one another. All it takes is for one of us to go out here and to make an impact, to make a difference. As I was getting ready to say, when the community supports the black business supports the community. It gives the money to the little league so that the kids can go to the park and play baseball in the summer. It gives the money to the teeny tiny football league so that they can go out and play football in the wintertime. I remember when we were growing up, and I'm sure you can remember this, Chef Rob, in the city of Chicago, every park had a field house, and every field house had a coach.
Right.
And to go to that field house, you could take out basketballs, play ping pong, play checkers, play chess, get bats and softballs and go out on the field and play. There were things for us to do. The public schools used to stay open in the evenings for us to hang out in. We've gotten away from all that. Things have not changed. We have changed. And we have allowed things to infiltrate our community that we don't have nothing to do with except for being consumers of poison. The drug dealer is just as sick as the drug user. The drug user is strung out on crack cocaine. The drug dealer is strung out on money. And the Bible tells us that the love of money, it didn't say having money. It said that when you love money, it's the root of all evil. Why? Because you can love something and never have it.
Okay.
People understand the movement and the management of money, which is what we were speaking about earlier today with this government shutdown. That's all about the movement and the management of money. Listen, people, wake up, get your head about your booty holes, and understand what's going on. All they're talking about is money. It ain't about black and white. It ain't about Democrat and Republican. It's about them greenbacks. They're fighting and arguing over raising the debt ceiling. What is the debt ceiling? The debt ceiling is the ability for us to continue to buy borrow money from China and these other foreign countries that will loan us money. But guess what? Just like when you go get some more credit and you got to pay it every month, say you go get a car and you got to make that car note every month, and you miss a couple of months, or you got a house and you got to make a mortgage, and you miss a couple of mortgages, they foreclose, and when they foreclose, they take their property back. Now think about this. With all this debt that we got out of here, if we default and they want to call the debt in, what they going to take?
Okay, I want you to continue with that, but I want to blow this at you real quick. My thing is this right now. The reason that I'm a whole lot against a whole lot of this shit they're talking about is because I stopped from what's going on because I didn't create this debt. Even though I live here, they try to tell me that, hey, my part, the debt, national debt, is something like $36,000 or maybe $40,000. Well, I really feel that every politician that's been in place ever since this thing got that way should lose all benefits, all pays and allowance, and they should be paying that shit. I ain't had nothing to do with it. So don't go ahead and tell me because I live here that I got to pay my part. They should be paying a lot more than what they pay. And so when I go ahead and I look at how politicians are going ahead and making $3,500, $6,000, and $10,000 a week, but they want to go ahead and shut down the government from people going ahead and getting a little bit of this money, and they are not only going ahead and getting that money from taxpayers, they're also going ahead and involving insider trading, also involved in going ahead and getting other money from being under-the-table deals, and then they're also invested into these companies that they're doing the insider trading with. So again, that's not my damn debt. Fuckers debt, and they need to pay that shit. You get my point?
I totally agree with you. I mean, you know, I said today when we were talking, I have you on the one hand, I believe certain things, but on the other hand, I live certain things. And, you know, perception is reality. Whatever you perceive something, it is the reality. Now, even though I am considered as a black Republican, when I look at the condition of my people, when I look at the condition, you know something I noticed, and I've traveled to a lot of different countries, and I've traveled to a lot of different states. And one thing that never changes, no matter where I travel, is that wherever you find black people at, whether it's in Alabama, whether it's in Chicago, whether it's in New Orleans, whether it's in Florida, whether it's overseas, wherever you find us at, the same thing is going on in our community. Death, destruction, and mayhem.
Right.
All over the world.
Right.
All over the world. And a lot of times, even, you know, it's just like with what's going on in Washington, D.C. now. I do not agree with the Republican caucus, and I do not agree with the Republican leadership with the garbage that they're pulling. It's a law. Leave it alone. Move on. Period.
Oh, you don't agree? You don't agree with that?
No, I don't. And I'm very annoyed at the games that they're playing up there because they're playing with people's lives, but ain't now one of them stopped taking a paycheck. They can cut somebody else's paycheck off, but ain't now one of them turned in their paycheck. A couple of them said they was going to donate it to charity, but that's what they said.
I'm hitting you. So according to what you just said, you ain't a Republican then. Okay, so you're not a Republican if you're supporting to go ahead and torn the party line.
Just because I don't support. Let me put it to you like this, Rob. Let me be very plain and very blunt. It doesn't mean I'm not a Republican. What it means is that I'm not a stepping stanchion nigga. I don't have to totally agree with you. I'm not a stepping stanchion nigga. I'm not a water boy. A water boy is somebody that will go along with a program even though they know it's wrong. That's not the game that I play. I play in reality and I play in real life. And in reality and in real life, the garbage that they're pulling up there is just what it is. It's garbage. They are hurting people. They are hurting veterans. They are hurting those people that pay the bills.
So
I cannot agree with that. I cannot toe that line. See, Martin Luther King made it real plain. If you don't stand up for something, you'll fall for anything. And just because I don't support what they're doing does not mean that I'm not a Republican. What it means is that I embrace and I live truth and I live life and I love life. But at the same time, I'm able to tell you when you're wrong. And they are wrong.
So the ones up there, the black ones that are Republicans right now, those are the step and fetch it niggas. Herman Cain was a step and fetch it nigga. Okay? Colonel West is a step and fetch it nigga. Is that what you said?
I didn't call them step and fetch it niggas. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about anybody that will, if they're falling behind this garbage that they putting up there, then yes, they're a step and fetch it nigga.
Okay, yeah, because I was about to say that they support what's going on. And West,
if they
a member of Congress.
If they fall in line with this garbage, that's what they are.
Okay. All right, so.
I'm going to keep it real, Rob. I told you that when we talked today. I'm going to keep it real. You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat nothing, and I damn sure ain't going to set up and co-sign somebody's wrong, because don't nobody co-sign mine. Behind every choice that you make, there's a consequence that follows. Now, if I got to live the consequences behind the choices that I make, then everybody else should have to live the consequences behind the choices that they make. And to be honest with you, I hope some of the consequences from the choices that this Republican leadership and conference has made is that their asses get fired when the midterms come.
Let me come to something, because I also feel that they should be fired. I was trying to start a petition on with that change.org, you know, to go ahead and stop their pay. I feel that all pays and allowances for all politicians should go ahead and I feel that anything that they've gained since they became a politician should be discontinued. I feel that since they every nickel that they've gotten, they became a politician, and since the unemployment gets, I think that all payers allowance should be stopped until unemployment is somewhere like around 2%. But I feel that, like I said earlier, this debt thing is they had nothing to do with it. And the way it looks, they've been doing this, playing this game for a long time. If these guys ran their house, really run this country, they'd be on the street. So, you know, I go ahead and look at it like this also. I feel that with a lot of their attitudes, and I'm going to come back to it. I want to come back and ask you about reparations in a minute. But I feel with a lot of the attitudes of the Republican Party today, this was kind of like yesterday's Democrats. So for me, they wanted the same. I tried to go ahead and send that to a few people. They want to argue with me and go ahead and try to tell me I'm wrong. But today, Republicans, yesterday, Democrats. And still, Democrats really never did enough for black folks. And Republicans ain't doing shit for black folks. If you go ahead and look at them as a whole, neither one of them ever really did shit for us. If you go ahead and want to argue with me about going ahead and say, well, the Republicans freed the slaves, my shit would be my position would be this. If you really gave a shit about me, you wouldn't have let me let none of my ancestors come in this country as a slave in the first fucking place.
Well, so, I got another shock for you, and that is that I don't agree that Abraham Lincoln was a great emancipator.
Hold on. I want to put this out there. Anybody want to challenge me, I go back and bring all that shit up. Abraham Lincoln was a bigot. Abraham Lincoln was a Melungeon descent, which he was part of. His group came from West Africa. He was one of those type of Negroes that because he was part Negro, he hated the Negroes. He knew how to go ahead and get to go ahead and come at Negroes. So he was part Black and he hated that black side. So he one of his speeches he gave, he said, "I'll free them Negroes, but I don't want none of them living next door to me." So Abraham Lincoln wasn't shit.
Well, you know, like I was getting ready to say, that if it hadn't have been for him being pressured by the Frederick Douglasses and the generals that were fighting the war to put the black soldier in the war and give them weapons, the North would have lost. And that's documented. It's documented where his generals sent him letters begging him, please let us get these boys from behind these wagon trains and cooking and grooming horses and let them fight. They fight way better than we fight. And when he did that, that changed the whole scenario of the Civil War. So,
there were groups, even the Haitians also. The Haitians sent troops up here several times. The Haitians sent troops up here during the American Revolution because they had already defeated the French. And they also tried to help the North. So, we need to, and this is something else, we got to go ahead and look at, history for what it is and stop going ahead and repeat what these other motherfuckers keep trying to tell you. You need to go ahead and look at for history for what it is. And for us, it is always being something where they try to wipe us off the fucking map, wipe out our contributions. This is why I go ahead and look, that piece about reparations, we've never gotten what we were supposed to be getting. Even as you look at it today, we still ain't even getting respect. That's a lot of us just even want to give fucking respect, and we're not even getting that.
Well, my take on reparations is this, and I'm going back to what I said before. We were never slaves. Our forefathers were slaves. And the things that
okay,
they...
Okay, let me finish.
Our forefathers were slaves. It's very important that we embrace that attitude and we embrace that train of thought. Reason being is because as long as you continue to call yourself a slave or continue to put yourself in a position that the slaves were in, you act the way they act. So what I'm saying is that we are descendants of slaves. And being descendants of slaves has caused our condition to be the way that it is, and there should be some reparations to pull us out other than a welfare program, food stamps, and all this other entitlement bullshit that they got going on out here. It should be some things put in place like they did with the Indians, where we can start making some money. And change our economics. I'm going right back to economics. When you change your economics, you change your whole life. People that's used to living off of $700 a month, if they start getting $5,000 a week, they're not going to live where they were living when they was getting $700 a month. They're going to
live where they're living. Let me come back to something. Now, here, look. All right. So, what you're telling me is that you found out that your daddy, your granddaddy, your great-granddaddy, or your great-great-granddaddy was treated like shit. They done made him work for them for free. And when you found out that injustice occurred, you just supposed to go ahead and let it go? Is that what you're telling me?
That's not what I said.
That's not what I said.
What I said was that being a descendant of that person that was worked for free and treated like shit, being a descendant, I am deserving of some reparation.
Okay.
That's what I said.
Oh, okay. Okay. Let me get clarity on it.
And what I used as an example was the Indians. The Indians, the descendants of the Indians whose land was stolen, were given reparations in the form of being able to open up casinos and being able to not pay taxes and being able to sell certain commodities on their land and not be taxed for it, like cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
So,
but all you got to do do is prove that you got one-tenth, I believe it's one-tenth of Indian blood, and a group of y'all get together and prove that y'all got one-tenth of Indian blood, and y'all from the Sapahoe tribe, and y'all can go get a casino license.
See,
you ain't got to pay no taxes on the money that the casino collects.
See, but here in America, that's the easy thing to go and prove that you got African blood in you. But the thing is that they don't want to go ahead and look. I'll be like this: if you ain't gonna give me no money, get out my damn way and let me build something. All your laws and all your rules shouldn't apply to me. Okay, give me some tax breaks and stay the fuck with me if you ain't gonna go ahead and give me a check. Let me give me a plane ticket and let me get the fuck up out of here and you can have this motherfucker. But don't go ahead and putting in your fucking bullshit rules and your sick ass laws and traffic stops and all that other old nonsense to go ahead and grab my fucking cash.
Okay, I know you and a whole lot of other people got a problem, but let me share this with you. Let me share this with you, because I got a problem with a lot of this stuff, too. But the one thing that allows me to operate mentally on the level that I operate on is the fact that, and I told you this earlier today when we was talking, when I discovered that I am an American citizen and I have a right to vote, I have a right to put people in office who will legislate my position, it changed my whole train of thought. And that's what we need to do. We experienced some of it when we helped put Obama in office. And I say help put him in office because for black people to think that we made the first black president is asinine, it's ignorant, and it's misinformed. There were a whole lot of white people that helped Obama get in office, too. But we did play a major part. Now, getting back to the reparations piece, I still keep saying when we start asking for the right thing, we'll get our needs met.
Okay. I ain't going to come
That's
at
all
you.
I'm saying. I'm not saying reparations is wrong. I'm not saying that we don't deserve them. What I'm saying is that we ain't asking for the right thing. We need to start asking for the right thing. The only thing we got is a bunch of airhead people running around here talking about, I want a check.
Well, I kind of feel, but my thing, like I said,
damn a check, Jeff Rob, damn a check. Give me the ability to make a check, and I'll be fine.
But that's my point.
You know,
that's what I'm trying to say.
Open up the SBA and make the loans available to me to start.
Now, wait, hold on. This that's my point. Stay the fuck out of my way and let me do what I'm trying to do to go ahead and make my community better. Make it better for other people to look like me. Make it better for other black folks or for my family. Out of my damn way with all your bullshit rules and everything, and don't be giving me all this shit to try to get me to your legal system, your justice system, to go ahead and try to go ahead and keep this economy going back and keeping so many brothers and sisters in and out of jail. Because when you go to jail, believe it or not, man, it's a big part of the economy, and a lot of people don't even recognize that. When you go to jail, you go ahead, you keeping the police employee, the guy who go ahead and keeps the cars all right, just so they can arrest you and throw you in the cars, the judges, the guys who work in the courts, the guys who work in the jail, the your contractors who are working for the jail. You know, this goes on and on and on when you ask go through their system. So, you know, just stay out of my fucking way and let me go ahead and do something to go ahead and keep the community in the community. That's what I'm saying. If you don't want to go ahead and give me a check or give me a fucking plane check.
This is where we're going to stop disagreeing. It's not their system. See, that's where we get messed up at.
Whose system is it then?
It's our system.
When is it our system?
Let me talk. The reason why I say it's our system, but we're not participating in the system. I'm not going to sit up here and hold a conversation with you on this telephone or when we get face-to-face about these brothers that's going out here committing these bullshit-ass crimes, putting themselves in a position to be a part of the prison-industrial complex.
Okay.
I told you before, there are consequences behind choices that you make. And if you know know that. Remember we was talking, and I told you I went to jail one time. Remember we was sitting at the table talking?
Right,
and I
said,
boy, I ain't get my paycheck today. I'm thinking about going by that ATM machine. And his brother said, yeah, but you won't go to jail. And I told him, I said, I went to jail one time. And I realized from that one time, this is not the place I want to be.
But look, man, they put a system in place, man. This is their system. Okay, we did, you know, the founding fathers, when I hear that bullshit, man, none of them were black, and they put a system, and they created wealth for their people. Here it is right now. I want you to think about this. I want you to go ahead and think about this real, really, really good. Black wealth, okay, is 20 times less than white wealth. So how can you not go ahead and do that without a system?
Let me say this. I'm going to take you back to an earlier conversation that we had today. If I introduce you to a female, fine as hell, body shaped like a Coca-Cola bottle, and I tell you, man, all you got to do is say the right words and you'll have her in bed. And you call me a month later and say you got burnt. Whose fault is it?
Wait a minute now. Okay, I should have strapped up. I get your point with that.
That's what turned me to being a Republican. Personal responsibility. Listen, this is something else that I discovered when I became a Republican that I wrestled with. A lot of these sisters, these young sisters that's out here having babies, listen to this real good because God revealed this to me. This is not some real brainiac idea that I came up with. God revealed this to me. The reason why a lot of these sisters is out here having babies so young and the babies having babies is because of the absence of the love of a father. And
okay.
She tried to find that love through another man, only to be let down, and now she's trying to get that same love through that child who needs to be nurtured and loved. And so what I'm saying, the sum total of what I'm talking about tonight is that there's a lot of work that lies ahead of us, and only until we embrace the fact that we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do in dispelling that Willie Lynch letter. We have a lot of work to do in making us trust one another. We have a lot of work to do in building our communities and keeping the money inside of our community instead of, and sometimes it don't even make it, let alone leave. You don't even make it in the community. Damn, expect before you get off the job. I've seen that today at work.
All right, but let me come back to that clap issue, okay? So it's like this. Whatever gave you the skills or the know-how or whatever got you connected with that woman there that was about to give me the clap or that gave me the clap, why couldn't you go ahead and teach that to me? Or why isn't there something in place to go ahead and so I go ahead and not go ahead and get into that situation where I can go out and get my own? You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about with this whole system. Whatever, how you ever gained the knowledge to go ahead and talk to that woman or whatever got you to her, I may not have that. So how is it that I can go ahead and get that knowledge? Or I can go ahead and get next to her somehow or rub up against the right people, I can get to know her. So I would have to go through. So it'll just be me. Okay? And I can find out maybe firsthand that maybe she go ahead and she getting shots or whatever the hell, go ahead for treatment.
Well, let me put it to you like this. Since the 50s, we've had black leaders to rise up and lead our people and talk about this system and these problems, and ain't shit changed.
Let me finish.
It only got worse. So this is the position that I've taken and going to continue to take. I'm tired of talking about the problem. I know what the problem is. Let's start working on the solution. I told my wife about a month ago. She was dealing with some things, and she called me, and she said, I really need to talk to you. And I listened to her, and I didn't say anything. And she said, hello? I said, yeah, I'm still here. I'm listening to you. I can't talk and listen at the same time. And she said, well, I know when you get quiet like that, you're going to get profound. I said, the only profound thing that I have to say to you is as long as you're worried about that individual and that situation that you're dealing with, you cannot get on with making your destiny become a reality. And that's what I'm saying about the problems that we face in our community. As long as we keep focusing on the problem and not the solution, we're going to continue to live in the problem and with the problem. We need
I agree with that to a point. I mean, here's something else
to understand. They have not changed in over 250 years. What in the hell make you think they gonna change now?
I ain't trying to change them at all. I think that our mindset should be changing us and believing that, hey, there is some change. This is something to be out here somewhere that they gonna change. But again, like I said, we're getting us one of the part of changing is believing in this. This is not our system again.
So what? It's not our system.
This had us in mind to be constant consumers forever. Not for us to be a part of this shit. Not to sit on the board of CEOs. The top companies in America, top companies in America have the top companies here have had no blacks, almost no blacks sitting at no black CEOs.
So what, Rob? So what?
Let me tell you what I mean to bring this point out.
In the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, they didn't want us to eat at their diners. They didn't want us to go to their barbershop. They wouldn't even serve us fucking insurance. But we had our
Are you missing my
point? Until we wanted to be integrated with them. We had
listen, you missed my point.
The third of the country that was not bouncing a basketball and catching a football than we got today.
You missed my point. I agree with you. So this is why I'm saying that, hey, look, since we don't have them, why not go back to going ahead and putting something in place for us to be our own people, to be our own, CEOs. Own companies and our own industries. That's my thing. Yeah. I mean, they got their game over there.
When you start talking about the system, fuck the system. If you don't like the system, take the damn system over and change it.
But that's my point. That's what I'm trying to say.
You don't have to live up under it.
I'm not trying. I don't want to live up under it. I just told you earlier, I'd rather go ahead and take my passport and get the fuck up out of here.
How much money you need, man? I'm going to help you on your way. How much money you need?
Oh, man, about another $40,000,
man. Brother, everybody listening to this program tonight, look, make a seat over in the Rob Kelly. We want to get him out of here. Where you want us to send the money to, man? Give us a post office box.
All right, I'll get that to you in a minute. I got another call. Hold on, man. Hey, brother, your line is
Economics.
Open. Hey, Mr. How you doing,
bro? Doing all right today. Been listening to you guys for a while. Just decided to chime in on the end of the conversation.
Let me hear what you got, man.
It's not much. I agree with the brother that's talking, man. We need to come up with solutions, and the more we focus on the problems, we know what all the problems are. We know
right.
It's discrimination. We know the deck is stacked against us. We know we're behind the eight ball. We know our money ain't as long as theirs, and they got in the game before we did. We know all of that. But despite all of that, we still had an opportunity to create a stable economic power base inside of our communities if we focus on that. The more we continue to discuss what the system is not doing for us, the more we operate from a position of weakness or an enslaved position, because a slave says master needs to change something. A free man says something. And if we start operating from a position of power, then we'll start seeing some results. Now, those results may not come corporately or over a national scale, like we preach about or speak about or hold protests and marches about, but they can happen in a microcosm in our communities, in our states, in our townships. That's all white people are doing, man. It's not complicated. They're forming small groups of people that go out and say, "I think like you, and I want this to be." And you and I have the same ideals and philosophies. Let's form a township. Let's incorporate.
Tea party.
Right. Tea the
party.
Tea Party is a great example.
Mr. Economics, pardon me. I'm sorry. Let me get one thing straight here. Here's my biggest thing here. I understand what you're saying, but my thing is here. I want to go ahead again. I want you to understand me. I want to leave them alone and focus in on us. Okay. I really don't give a damn what they're putting in place. I want to focus in on us.
Right, but I hear you. But then your conversation doesn't match up with what your state is.
The solution is that we need money, but how do we go ahead and get it? What are we gonna do when we get it? How are we gonna manage it? And what are we gonna do about going ahead and help dealing with today and tomorrow is tomorrow's endeavors?
The fact that we continue to say we need money, that's a misnomer. We already have money. If we didn't have money, then we wouldn't have money to spend on the drugs in the community and the alcohol in the community and the $200 pair of Jordans and the 25-inch rims and all this other bullshit we spend money on.
Okay, we have money. Hold on, brother. How do you get them to stop spending the money on that stuff and focus in on your solution?
Again, I told you, it's not about getting them. It's not about getting them. Part of the problem with empowering is that you don't really empower people if they're not involved in the decision. So it's not about me telling them, whether they look like me or not, it's not about me telling them what to do and putting my values on them. All I can do is match my allegiances with people who value the same things that I value it. If you value education and I value education for my children, guess what? We can start a school. We can move to a rural part of whatever county or state that we're in and start a township. And then that school township develops its own curriculum. We can do that if you and I have the same values. But I'm not going to sit there and try to enforce my values on folks who are not trying to have those same values. It's crazy. I become the slave master at that point.
Okay. The way this conversation is going, I wish I got this one brother who's a mayor of a small town, Louisiana, and he's trying to do just that. But he's a black mayor of a small town, Louisiana. He's trying to do just that, but the next town, the county that he's in, and including the state, are coming up with different laws for him to go ahead and do any moves to go ahead and do stuff for black people and do stuff for the people that's in that town. No way, folks. But the stuff is going ahead and empowering black people, trying to go ahead and even up the scale there. Don't want that.
So, like I mentioned earlier, I hope
one of y'all catch on to this. So, 20 times less than white,
That again is the first problem. In order for me to I'm speaking, when I say me, I'm talking about us. I'm talking about anybody who wants to progress. In order for me to progress, I gotta stop comparing myself to other people. All I care about is how much I have moved forward from last year, from last month, from last week, from yesterday. As long as I continue to compare myself to other people, I'm going to always be behind the eight ball. We already know this started before us.
That's turned us into individuals. We can't go ahead and be an individual because our position is not happening as individuals. They operate as a group, in different groups, but they all got the same goal.
Well, and again, the group. I'm not speaking from an individual standpoint. I already know. I'm an economist. I already know. African American wealth in 1994 was $9,500 per household. It's decreased to less than $5,000. I already understand that. That's not their problem. They're not making our wealth go down. We're making our wealth go down with the choices that we as a community make. And so instead of us, I think I was on another show and I said, man, we upset about the liquor store and the check cashing place and the pawn shop and the little corner stores run by the Koreans. Guess what? These businesses are viable because people are spending money there. If we weren't spending money there, they wouldn't be viable.
Okay, who's that?
Colin.
What's up, man? How you doing, brother?
What's going on, Chef Rob? What's going on, Mr. Columbus, man? Long time, man. Long time no hear. I haven't had a SmackDown with you for what, 2 years now? Dang, man, that's been a long time, man.
My point
okay,
is, we
God,
want things
ahead.
To change, we just
add?
Need to go on to change it.
No, don't get scared, man. Don't get scared. I just want to say a couple things. Okay. All right, listen to the show. You make some good points, right? You start off good. Some people, you guys, know when to quit. You know, you were going to roll there for a little while, man. You know. Now we're talking about, Rob asked you about collectively. Now, the only reason why a lot of black conservatives even talk about black people collectively is because white people view us collectively, you know? If let me give you an example. When that motorcycle incident happened in New York a couple of weeks ago, right away the right-wing pundit was saying, see, this has all to do with values in the community and everything like that. They always point, every time somebody black does something, they always point to the ills in the black community. In other words, we're incapable of being, and suddenly we don't want to be, black people aren't individuals anymore. You know, we're a group. You know, see, that goes back to the thing. Even though when if you look at it, you know, people usually organize like that in a motorcycle gang. Let me get to my point. They're from New Rochelle, New York. That's the area where I'm from in Queens. You know, that's a middle-class neighborhood. A lot of people know areas well-kept homes for generations. You know, that's no slump. You know, some of those people got money and everything like that, just like white working-class communities got motorcycle clubs and everything like that. So it had absolutely nothing to do with them being poor or anything like that. It was an incident. A road rage incident and everything like that. One guy got ran over and everything. But suddenly the black community becomes under a microscope. Then what happens is the media figures out his mistake. Wait a minute here. Even though these guys are a bunch of jerks or whatever like that, we still got black gangs and white motorcycle clubs who get drunk down in Myrtle Beach and cause ruckus too. Suddenly you don't focus on the white community when white people do something. You know, you only focus on the black community when black people do something. Then when we start talking about economics, right, and we start talking about group economics, suddenly, everybody wants to talk about individuality and just do you and be yourself and all the stuff like that. And my whole thing is this. If America is saying that we don't want anything to do with you, then we're perfectly justified in saying, well, let's take it to a step higher. What if we said we want to govern ourselves? You know, we don't want anything to do with America altogether. Who wants to stop us? America can't keep us in a box. Well, you can't do that. But you can sit over here and we can blame you for all your conditions. And then we say, okay, we got a solution for our conditions. What is the fact that, I agree with you in a little bit on reparations. You know, I don't believe every black person should get a check. But what if black people decided to basically to become more sovereign and independent, you know, like other people around the world? What if we basically did build our own nation in Africa? What if the United States government said, we will give you $15 billion a year a budget to start off and everything like that and whatever assistance you need and everything as part of a payment. If anybody wants to go, they don't have to go if they want to. If anybody wants to go, they can. You know, nobody wants to ever have that conversation. So
okay,
Kevin.
You
know? We've already had that conversation. That's how we ended up with Freetown and Sierra Leone. How do you think Freetown and Sierra Leone was even
Okay. Let me go there because I'm an expert on Liberia, Sierra Leone. I got a novel coming out. I know Liberia. I have an organization. I deal with Liberians. Know the history of the country in and out.
Hey, wait, hold on, Caleb. Hold on. Hey, Mr. Moody.
Yeah.
What do you feel about what he just said?
Well, once again, I will make my position very plain. In some of his comments, I agree that we do have to move away from individuality and start doing things as a group. But At the same time, I have to stick with my position of quit worrying about what they're saying and what they're doing. Quit focusing on the problem. Let's get to the solution. Because we can't be responsible for what people think and say and do. And this is the way I live my life. Everybody's opinion is valid. It don't have to be true, but it's valid. Because it's your opinion. You have a right to your opinion. Just like I have a right to mine. And it's my
let me say this real quick, okay? Okay, from what my understanding is that the war is still at war, the U.S. is still at war with Africa. Okay, and so they're going to go ahead and keep tabs on what their enemy is doing. Okay, so when you say that we got to quit worrying about what they were, think about what they worry about, I have to disagree with that because they have, they have a system in place to monitor you. They got satellites to go ahead and monitor your movement. If you go ahead and you want to go ahead and make a move to do anything, they can go ahead, they can put some house Negroes into your group, infiltrate you, and shut your shit down. Okay. Okay. You can look at every one of the black groups that done something. You got your bootlicking house niggas, Jesse Jackson. He ain't going in doing nothing. And I my clip didn't come back up because I wish I could have played that clip showing that Martin Luther King saying, "Hey, look, we going to Washington to get our check." You don't have no black leaders saying that, "Hey, look, they going to Washington to get their check." Fuck down that farm. Here's my point.
The campaign was an economic campaign. That's what the March on Washington was about. I totally agree with you on that.
Okay, so we still have, since we are still their enemy, we still have to pay attention to them and they go ahead and do what they're doing against us, and we have to figure out a way to protect ourselves. Hold on, 682, your line is open. Six eight two three five six. Your line is open. Okay. Anyway, Mr. Economics. So, how do you feel about what I just said?
I'm still waiting on solutions. I've been hearing the same thing my entire life.
Here's my solution. Okay, let me give you my solution. My solution is this: we are not going to go ahead and get out of this situation until we go ahead and get us a piece of this dirt. Okay, if we don't get us a piece of dirt, we're doomed to go ahead and be at their fucking mercy forever. So one way to go ahead and get some of this dirt is find other groups that's out here, see what they're doing. I started 501c3 trying to go ahead and get people established in farming and agriculture. I'll be putting it on my website before the weekend. I try to put it up again. That shit didn't run. I had some problems. But I'll go ahead and make sure I work the business out before next weekend. And I got a plan with that to go ahead, not only to go ahead and just put you into a farm, to put you in a farm, but to go ahead and break down every aspect of farming necessary to keep your ass afloat. That's my contribution now to a solution. So if you got another plan, you let me know. I feel that if you ain't got no damn dirt, none of this earth over here, anything else ain't going to make no damn sense because they can shut your shit down. That dirt,
let me say this to you, Chef Rob, and to everybody that's listening. I applaud you, and I take my hat off to you for at least having the good gumption to have a show where these ideas can be tossed around and talked about. And I'm telling you, on your national show, you have my help. I'm willing to help so that we can come up with some solutions to change some of this stuff around.
Okay. Well, that's just one. I mean, one thing is not really going to go ahead and totally help us, but it's a start. Okay? That's my thing. If you got something else, I'm willing to go with it. But I got a lot of experience and expertise in the kitchen. But once I get you to take it from the ground, I can teach you how to feed yourself with it and also go ahead and turn some of the products from the food products into different biofuels that can go ahead and help go ahead and I know a little bit about electronics and engines. I can go ahead and teach you how to go ahead and take them fuels and go ahead and put it into combustible engines and go ahead and create a generator to keep the lights on. So I have some solutions for that. And I'm working on that. So if you got something else, you let me know. She'll be up running in a little while. Anybody else want to contribute to that?
Yeah, I agree. All I'm saying is,
The idea is that we, black people, I think every black person basically should have a glow on the desk. You should have a glow. Everybody should go and get, have them go to the dollar store or whatever like that, and get themselves a freaking globe on their thing. Get a sense of geopolitical thing. I learned how to read maps since I was 8 years old. I was always good at reading maps. I knew every state in the union, and I used to know every country in the world's capitals, you know. And the bottom line is this: I've always been like, okay, this is where you are, and the reason why you're going through this is because the laws of this land, this area right here, says this. And when you move to New York, things are different. People think differently than people think in North Carolina. You know, people in North Carolina think differently than people in Florida. People in America think differently than people in Canada. You know, people in Europe think different than people in Africa. People in Australia think different than people in America. All those places of land, with land comes culture and ways of life and customs and doing things. You may go to Australia, and only Australia may know lingo and body language and everything that's unique to them, you know. So the bottom line is, in black America, we're the only group of people that don't have any space. This is very important. Listen. We don't have any space or any privacy or exclusivity. So, therefore, everyone basically, it's like basically being black in America is just like walking around and everybody can see under your clothes at all times. We have no way of protecting ourselves. We have no way of having privacy where we can deal with each other. So this idea that, oh, yeah, we're going to do this over here and do this over here, it's not going to happen because I'll talk about Roseville, you'll talk about Durham, North Carolina, Wilmington, all these massacres, Tulsa. You look at Detroit and everything. As soon as Detroit became a black political power, in a sense, that's when the white political establishment decided they want to start moving factories and industries and business and capital and everything out of the city.
Hold on, Mr. Economics, do you agree with that?
Everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
That's not an opinion.
No. I understand that, but don't do that, brother. Don't do that. I want to hear what you have to say. Do you agree with it, yes or no? And then go ahead and give me your side.
Again, mine is still the same. While we can wait for the rhetoric and the dialogue and all the meetings and all the great novel ideas for people to
think kumbaya. Let me ask you this. Okay.
Caleb, hold on. Let me finish.
I'm not trying to sound condescending. What I'm saying is I've heard it before.
Okay, Caleb, hold on.
And all I'm saying is there are, as much as we talk about this government, as much as we talk about the rules that are in place, we still have rules that are available to us now.
Let me answer that.
Let him speak, brother. He didn't finish making his point. Let him make his point. Come on.
We have rules that are available to us now that will allow us to operate from a better position. That's all I'm saying. The fact that we even using a 501c3 is a rule. That's a rule that's here.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm not talking about the undertone of racism and the system is trying to keep
that.
It. I'm talking about real solid rules.
I said that in my opening monologue. Caleb, wait a minute.
Let that brother make his point. He got a little bit more to say. You had a few more words. If I put out the word counter, you'll see that, hey, look, you outweigh what he did. Okay, let him go ahead and make his point. Okay?
The way that we fight, as much as we hate the system as we can, we still have to have a dual approach. And what I feel like is that the rhetoric is all about us fighting outside of the system, against the grain, when we still need the things that this system and the rules and this government provides in order to sustain ourselves. We still need, if we're going to have land in the United States, it's still laws around that land. If we're going to use the tax code, it's still laws inside of that. So why don't we just maximize what we currently have while we are developing a more sustainable global approach? That's it. It's not as complex as people would make it. It's not an adversarial approach. It is really a more for all approach. I too have traveled extensively through the West African region. I'm excited about the opportunities over there. But they need the same thing that we've been talking about on this phone, economics. So they don't need us to come in there with no more ideas.
Let me get in there. Okay, look. For one, I deal with Africa, particularly Liberia and Ghana. And I do know that right now Africa has 65 billion. You know, Black America has one. You know, one and a half. You know, Bob Johnson's no longer a billionaire. You know, Oprah Winfrey makes her money, majority of her money, with white America. The richest Black man in the world is not an African American. He's not somebody that lives in the Western Hemisphere. He lives in Africa. Aliko Dangote. You know, he's an industrialist. He's not an entertainer. He's not a ball player. He's not anything like that. He's not a rapper. You know, he's an industrialist. Somebody who builds industries. Somebody who builds, makes everything from sugar to cement to steel to oil refinery. He's an industrialist. Name me one Black industrialist we have in America that's a captain of industry. Right now, you are having I'll let you speak. Let me say this. Let me finish. Right now, you have new crops of African leaders in Nigeria and all these countries, young people who are going to be the next Aliko Dangote. In other words, basically, what I'm saying is this: when you have a nation and a government and all the resources behind you, you can take your destiny into your own hands. That's the fact. Nobody's saying.
Hey, Caleb, hold on, Caleb. Do you think Mr. Economist is saying that, but in a different way?
No, but you know, what he's saying is, yeah, I've been there.
Hey, Caleb, what's up, brother? Don't speak for him. I'm telling you what did you hear? Yes or no? Did you think he was saying what you said, but in a different way?
No. This is what I'm going to say. Then we can put together what he's saying. We're going to ask him what he's saying.
He on the line.
Okay,
we're going to ask.
Let me say what I'm saying. Well, this is what I'm saying. I'm saying that when you're in a situation where you're a minority group in America, the terms of everything we do in America is dictated by the majority. We don't have the political, economic power. We never had that in America. We never got 40 acres of land. There's no Black areas in this country where we control. There's no places in America where we have a financial institutions and everything, where we own all the land, the industries, the roads, the tolls, the electricity, power grids and everything. All around the world, people are doing that. Countries that were once third world countries 10, 15 years ago are now building their own power plants.
Hold on.
That does not happen in Black America. Why? Because we don't have the ability to govern and control ourselves. That's what I'm saying.
So, Mr. Economist, is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying. And you know, I like statistics, so I'm gonna throw a little bit about the African continent as well. It's really interesting how we always talk about Africa as one unit. It is a diverse continent.
While
it does, as a continent, hold the greatest number of Black billionaires in the world, there is also a great amount of poverty in the individual countries. So
okay,
a Detroit looks like a huge upstep. To some of the people who live in newly established Democratic Guinea or some parts of Gambia or even Sierra Leone with beachfront slums. So it's not about that they don't need the economic power. They have the same issues that we have. It's about organization.
Well, I know that, but let me say this.
Okay, hold on. Let me bring in somebody else. 682, your line is open. Is that you, Mr. Dalton?
Yes, it is.
How you doing, brother? Let me go ahead. Let me let everybody know who you are. Here, brother, I love that place over there, and I've been waiting for your call. I want to go ahead and get my thing established. I got some people ready to go ahead and bring some tanks up. Remember I told you we talk about the aquaponics?
Yep.
I got some people ready to bring some big old tanks up. So, you know, I want you to let me know when we get bring them tanks up to go ahead and get that fish farming thing going. So go ahead, brother. Go ahead and add your piece.
Well, you know, bottom line, like my brother said, even Sierra Leone with the great beaches that they have and stuff, they're still dealing with the same economic problems that we have. And the thing is, we've been socially engineered as a race of people to be divided against ourselves. I remember studying over in Europe a number of years ago, and that's one of the things that the African nations have been waiting for those of the diaspora over here to pull their resources together to make it happen. Now, I love the way you brothers talk. But let me put something, you may not like this. We've been over in that building on 69th and Emerald for 8 or 9 months. Chief Rob, you've been over there. You know what the potential is. Yet, as I travel from 69th and Halston to 69th and Western, which is mostly vacant lots, abandoned buildings, and brothers hanging out, all I witness is Mexicans come in like locusts into our communities and take it, and now they have their children out jumping rope with the grandmother in our community, and all we're doing is talking. We're not collaborating. We're not pulling our resources together. We're not putting any sweat equity in it. And I'm calling the brothers out with the PhDs down to the vocational craft. We talk all the smack, but we ain't pulling together. That's what we got to do. Stop just talking. Put a plan of action. A simple strategy is to build where we live. We're talking about a nation within a nation. Should be, African-American, that was what feared the Europeans. We in America and all the major cities, they have gentrified all the major cities, and Chicago is the last frontier. We have to put a stake in the ground here in Chicago, and everything else will take care of itself. We must build where we live. We must grow what we eat. We must sow what we wear, and we must buy what we own. If we're not practicing that as a group economic, don't talk. You just run off with your mouth talking about the solutions, but then you turn right back around and give your dollar to someone that's not like you, and you'll never see it again. As it's been brought out many times, the Asians and the Arabs, they make sure the dollar touches each other's hands at least 13 times. The Jews touch 18 times, and we only touch our hands one time. Don't talk to me about economic empowerment when you turn right back around and go sit at Denny's, IHOP, or any of the other restaurants, when black restaurants, which one I happen to own, they suffer. Don't talk about, you know, anything about solution unless you are part of the solution, unless you are making a conscious effort to spend your dollars among yourself and encourage whoever you give your dollars to give it to someone like themselves. That's what they do. My Jewish so-called associates, they got a book in their home. They got all the Jewish-owned businesses in their local state and federal area. They do not take the money outside of their sales. We have to practice group economics, collaborative. Let me finish. I'll shut up. It's collaborative entrepreneurship is the only way that we're going to get out of this. Sure, there are going to be some of us that's going to do well as individual entrepreneurs, but in order for us to get out of what the situation that we're in, we have to have a collaborative entrepreneurial mindset. The great Marcus Garvey brought it up very clearly. You can open up any business and open it up to that village or tribe to own most of it, then share it with the other villages. It's collaborative entrepreneurship. It's the only way that's going to get us out the hole, which can help our brothers. Even the Chinese have a plan. You can Google it. They're sending 24 million Chinese single males into Africa with money. They're having babies by them, by the Africans. In some countries, more Chinese African babies are being born than African. That is a systematic, methodical plan to take a continent. You all know they killed Gaddafi for economic reasons, because Africa was going to become the United States of Africa and become one bank. We ain't ignorant, but what we have to do is pull our resources together today. So, brothers, if you got money in your pocket and if it goes into someone else's hand before it goes to another brother's hand, you can't say nothing.
Let me add to that.
Dolphin.
Yes, sir.
You there?
Yes, sir.
I want you to go ahead and explain a little bit about that building, what your plan is. Do you want to get into that a little bit?
Absolutely. I'll give you a 20-second spill. It's just under 50,000 square feet. It's got 3 floors, including over 7,000 square foot basement, which we're scraping plastering and painting the walls, happen to have them done by the first of the year. We're going to have boxing, wrestling, martial arts, nutritional kitchen, a vocational training, and a manufacturing training in the basement alone. The first floor has 7 storefronts. Those 7 stores will be businesses that will be black-owned businesses, not owned by the individual, but owned by that tribe or that village there. 80% of that. The other 15 will be owned by the other villages, which will be 7 total in all. It has a ballroom that holds over 500 people with tables, 1,000 with chairs, 1,500 standing up. Also have a third floor ballroom, and we have one whole city block of parking. It is a get our shit together building, and I welcome everyone. And we're just stewards. We're not the owners. We're the stewards, because God owns everything. That's the spirit. Yeah.
See what I'm saying? That's what we're talking about, and that's what we're working on.
What we're doing with the Kinetic Pipeline Black Wall Street, you know, which is recently did a major buyout. And what we're doing is we're going to be funding black businesses, right? And we built a database of black businesses, and we're taking this globally, worldwide. And we're going to have a system by which we fund black businesses, but we also basically, part of the funding of the black businesses will encourage black businesses to do businesses with each other. For example,
if you're going to do it nationwide, you got to start in one spot.
We already got divisions and everything. That's already in the pipeline. We already got people in every city that's working in different areas. Okay? All right, so what we've got.
I think his point is, it's just like I know that Mr. Moody is a vet. And one thing that we know with being vets is that you got to have a central base of operation, a headquarters.
Right.
HQ in that situation.
Okay, well, right now we have not decided on the headquarters of the Kinetic Pipelines in California. And Black Wall Street is in Ohio, right? But we're going to basically settle on a central location. We're going to be in every major city in every state.
What Dolphin is saying is this building, and a lot of stuff is coming out of Chicago. This building is set and been pretty much ready to go.
Let me say this. What we found out in our study is that we're going to take each region as things. We're going to find out, because what might apply to Chicago might not work well where I live. You know, so the black situation, the business situation.
Okay, so when you go ahead,
that's not true. That is absolutely not true. A prototype. We don't need a headquarters.
We don't need it. We don't need a headquarters.
But we do need a prototype. We don't need a headquarters, but we need a prototype.
What you do is you go to our website and just check us out, see what we're doing, and then basically
listen to his point, because I'm getting his point a lot more, and because I've been over there. They're on the ground right now. This is boots on the ground going ahead and dealing with
the issues. Rob, we have boots on the ground. We're not just talking.
Listen to me one more time. He's got boots on the ground and going ahead and combating the problem and dealing with some of the problems.
Rob, you got to understand what we're talking about.
So the Kinetic Pipeline, which I love the idea, don't get me wrong, not shooting it down.
Rob, this reality is happening. It's not no idea. This is working. This is happening. We got people signing up for Black Wall Street and Kinetic Pipeline every day. You know, we're gonna have a million members by the end of the year. We'll have a million people by the end of the year.
Okay,
you know, we're gonna be able to give businesses up to $1 million a month. You know, to get started. You know, that's our goal. You know, we're not doing this for ourselves. We're doing this for posterity. We're doing this for our community.
Okay, here, let me come back to you, Mr. Dolphin. Yeah, Mr. Moody.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so from being a black Republican, what do you think about what you just heard so far? That's something that most black Republicans would go for, since Republicans are for the Republic.
I think it all sounds great. I mean, the dialogue tonight has just been energizing, very energizing. And like I said when I first started, you know, speaking, although that's my personal political choice, I'm still a black man. And I still have to support my people. I'm so glad that I'm not one of those that can't speak like the brother said, because I tried every opportunity to support black people and black businesses. And you see that, Rob, when we at the VA. I mean, you know, those black businesses that come in there, I go and buy from them.
Mm-hmm.
I pay my phone bill at a black store. I try to shop at black stores. As soon as I see one open up in the community, I'm the first one to run in and say, hey, let me get this, let me get that, let me get that. I think it's all great what I'm hearing tonight.
Beautiful, beautiful. Brother Bianchi, is that you again?
Yeah, man, I'm sorry. I had to go get my grandson from homecoming.
Get you, brother. What do you think about the conversation so far?
Well, you know, I myself is very much conservative. I didn't vote for Barack Obama this last time. I voted for Rocky Johnson. And I have Johnson, the former governor of New Mexico, I think he is. He's libertarian. And also, you know, Ron Paul has been a favorite of mine, too, because of his physical ideology. But, you know, I'm a person. I'm sure that this gentleman here thinks very positive toward blacks controlling the economy that they consume in. And he thinks probably very highly in getting rid of with the Department of Education, having more school choice in the form of vouchers and things of that nature. And, you know, the ideology of what my friend Kayla, who uses his high school picture now on his Facebook.
Hey, my high school picture. I took a picture the other day, man. That's me, man. I took that picture. I wonder what you were talking about. That's my picture. You think I had a cigar in my hand in high school?
Hold on. We'll come back to it later. Hey, Mr. Moody, did you agree with that about going ahead and getting rid of the school vouchers, Department of Education, things like that?
I know I still look young.
I never once advocated getting rid of the Department of Education, but I did advocate school choice. And it's nowhere in the world that anybody can tell me that the public school system is educating our children the proper way. Tell me, somebody tonight, tell me that our children in the daily schools in Chicago, 50, mostly in the black and Hispanic neighborhoods, they close a damn school on the north side.
Well, they close them schools because of a lot of abortion that goes on in black community. But let me ask you another question.
That's right. $16 billion since 1973.
Goods that's produced in West Africa, for instance, are in a Republic of New Africa. Would you be favorable of providing tariff-free and duty-free imports of those materials back into our communities?
Sure would.
Well, this is a person here I could vote for, Rob.
Sure would. Anything that's going to lift our people up. Anything that's going to lift our people up. Not just in America, but all across the world.
Hey, Mr. Moody.
Yeah.
Mr. Moody, would you tell them some of the citations you got, some of the people you shake hands with?
No, that ain't important.
Go ahead.
That ain't important. I had the opportunity to be with former President George W. Bush, Newt Gingrich, John Ashcroft, J.C. Watts. Dennis Speaker was a good personal friend of mine before he became the Speaker of the House and while he was the Speaker of the House. Just a lot of people. Just a lot of people.
So in your when you this is leading to something, going back to something else. You knew all these people and you dealt with them. I see, when I go here and I deal with us trying to do stuff for ourselves, dealing with what Mr. Norris is doing, what Kayla's doing, and then the information that Mr. Economist is giving out, we're all kind of on the same page with trying to hit angles. I feel like this, that no politician, and fellow Pianchi, I feel that no politician meant us any good. They only meant us all a bunch of harm. So when I was talking, and I mentioned about a legal issue I had a few years ago on how my attorney sitting there having lunch with the prosecutor. And so, that got my wheels are kicking, and then I started paying attention to other shit. And so my thing is like this. Politicians all go ahead and argue and talk stuff in the daytime, but at nighttime they're hanging out. So who's really going ahead and purse strings or holding puppet strings and control them to go ahead and talk like dummies like you? Hello?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mr. Solutions, because what I'm saying is this. What I'm saying is, because the left and the right seem to go ahead and be bickering and arguing, but at nighttime, and they hang out. But in the daytime, who are they really supporting?
They supporting each other.
Mm-hmm. So this whole thing is about money when you're dealing with this government shutdown, right?
It's all about money. That's what lobbyists are for.
Okay, so how can we go ahead and get our own lobbyists to go ahead and provide help us provide stuff that we need and dealing with black folks? Or should we just keep on again, back to something we talked about, go ahead and get our own stuff and just go ahead and turn our backs on them completely? How do we do that?
I'm not an advocate of turning my back on the system that I live up under because of the simple fact that no matter what problems I have with this system and what injustices I see, there's still a document that's in place that if myself and everybody that's on this line and everybody that's listening and they ain't all got to be black, we just work with the system that we have to take it over. Let me give you a classic example. The Ku Klux Klan finally realized somewhere along the line that riding around with sheets and hoods and hanging black folks and hating all other nationalities wasn't a good thing, so they put suits on and they sitting in Congress now.
Well, you know, another thing, too, you talk about lobbyists. You can't have lobbyists unless you got money to pay them.
Got to have money.
Yeah, and you got to have businesses. Blacks, one of their biggest problems, they don't have no viable businesses. They got businesses, but they don't have no viable businesses.
Yeah, that's
businesses.
What we're trying to check. We're trying to create with the Black Wall Street. We're trying to build real black businesses with payroll, employees, and stuff like that. That's what's going to solve the problem, you know?
I don't want to mute nobody. Hold on a minute. Let me ask Mr. Economics, you still there?
Still here.
What would be a viable business to go ahead and open in a black community?
The ones that's already there. My
the ones that's already there. How do you expand on those businesses?
Hold on. I am a proponent of buying, not starting, because it's not something that is uncommon. It happens every day. The businesses that are already in our communities, whether we like them or not, are viable. That's why they're still there. They're profitable. Those same businesses are for sale. So purchase them, and then they become black-owned businesses.
Well, and they had a thing in Dominic.
Okay, hold on. So them businesses that are already there, you talking about buying them. So how is that really? How is that really helping the community when you just go ahead and let that business go ahead and switch hands? How is that really helping? Because it's going ahead.
Let me make a point.
Because it's really not switching hands to be beneficial. You're still getting your raw materials from outside the community.
Again, the businesses that are already there are profitable. This is you guys asked about viable businesses. So
mm-hmm.
I invest in viable businesses. It is hard for me to come to terms with trying to put money into a business that is not performed. So I look at a business that's been around for 3 to 5 years, it's got a decent cash flow, and then I can control who works there. I can control the amount of money that I put back in that community. I have equity in the community that business is located in.
Wait, brother, that's because this is what, to me, this is what I'm getting at, what you're saying. That business is just going damn near flatline, or just going here with that same constant. It's not going up, going down. It's not going. It's just it for me. What that's telling me, it's not conduct. It's not going ahead and producing, and not going ahead and helping the neighborhood. It's just it's in the damn way.
Maybe we're talking about two different types of businesses. The dry cleaning plant.
It was my thing. Like just like with Mr. Norris when he came on, he was talking about the building over there in Chicago on 69th that's going to go ahead and help produce more black business people and go ahead and create a bigger industry. Just like what Ken is saying.
And it's not. I'm not against
that.
But what he's saying is very.
You know, logical with, I guess he calls it
economic. Okay, it's logical if you're going to go ahead and keep it as a concept. I don't see nothing. Go ahead.
No, he's talking about two different businesses. You see?
Yeah, we're talking about two different things.
That's one thing that you see, one thing, if you buy that business, along with that business come a name that's recognized, and that business have a clientele, should I say.
Right.
It's easier to take on a business that's already operating than to start one with a new name and new faces and all that. Also,
for
you
example,
got suppliers.
Safeway is selling off 140 stores in Chicago. They're pulling out of Chicago. It's called Dominic's parents' chain.
Which is owned by Albertsons, by the way.
And they're selling Safeway. It's connected with Safeway. In other words, basically, they use Safeway's infrastructure. Just like you may buy a bunch of dollar stores, right? A dollar store chain, which I think is a good idea for black people in the black community.
I think y'all are missing my point. Okay,
I think
I'm dealing with more of expansion and go ahead and trying to bring people more in. And my thing is like this.
Hold on.
Let me make my point here. Hold on. My thing is this. If you got a business, it's not you're not even showing me that it's really profitable. It's just going ahead and sustaining you. I'm talking about making something profitable and going ahead and expansion.
It's already that's not knowing whether it's profitable or not means it's not worth buying.
Let's say you bought like those Safeway, let's say they have like a third.
My thing is just like this. It's not profitable. I need it to be profitable to go ahead and help some individuals. I need it to go ahead and move on so we can go ahead and move on. That's my thing. That's what I'm saying. I mean, because what all the thing I'm hearing, it's just going to me. It's like flatline. All
right, Rob.
Let me give you a real example.
Let me finish this. Hold on. The thing I need to go ahead and hear is we got control of you. Okay, for me, I'm in the food business. I got my background is dealing with the food industry. So for me, really to make money, I got access to a farm. I can go ahead and do a lot more stuff. Hell, I can even go ahead and cut down the trees and make my own paper products. And that's what I want to go ahead and hit. Something like,
you got a dry cleaning business.
You ain't going to tell me that you got a chemist going ahead and setting up, going ahead and making up the chemicals to clean the clothes.
Let me finish my point. I was getting to that. It's the key word is called vertical integration, okay? That means when you have a business has vertical integration. In other words, let's say you own like 50 stores, and you don't just make money. When a business operates, the business needs electricians, it needs plumbing, it needs IT, it needs computers, it needs all those things. And if you're plugged into other, if you could basically sign a worker, like when you have a business, you have a certain budget allotted for inventory, you have a certain budget for construction.
Who does your budget?
Hold on. All those things.
Answer me. Does your budget?
Rob, let me. You do your own budget, you know.
Who does your budget?
No, let me finish. Let me finish. Let me finish.
Oh, no, that's my point. Hold on. Tell me.
You're not letting me finish my point. Rob, let me finish what I'm saying. Then you can add what you're saying. What I'm saying is this, though. If you have a business, right, first of all, right, you come in, you buy a business, right? You already have black-owned electrician companies, black-owned trade associations. You have shelf space. You can decide
Caleb,
you
hold on, get hold on, Caleb,
a certain
on.
Amount of shelf space to black-owned manufacturers, black-owned producers. You
okay,
have
hold on, hold on, hold on. Let me ask a question again. Brother Dolphin, you still there?
But you know what,
I'm going to tell you something, Rob.
That's the business you want to buy, the one that's flatlined. You don't want to buy no business that's peaking
because the owner would typically want
seven times what their business grows.
Brother Pianchi, listen. I get that. I understand that. I've been taught that. I was going to business school. I understand that. I've taught that. But reality has got to set in. A lot of us don't have the ability to do that. So we have to go ahead and start from scratch.
But, and a lot of us do have
that's
the ability.
That's what I'm trying to get at. I want to
a
go
lot
ahead
of us do have the ability to do that. A lot of us
do.
A lot of us do.
No, you can't do nothing. We too far. We too bad off to be doing things from scratch, man. We got to start. Well, you can.
And we can't do that. And us as a people, we can't. Don't tell me that we can't.
These businesses don't cost
everybody
hundreds of thousands
of dollars.
Certain
people can. If you buy a business that's established like a cleaner's or any other business, you don't immediately cut out their suppliers. You do it one or a few at a time. How many Safeway stores you say they were selling off?
There's like about 70 of them.
There's no black farmer that can supply the produce for 70 Safeway stores.
Right, exactly.
So what do you put in its place?
So you have to start off
small.
Hold on, listen, check it out.
And I get that. So what do you put in its place? Because in a black neighborhood in Chicago.
What do you mean, what do you put in its place?
Hold on, Brother Pianchi. I'm going to get to that. I'm going to answer that. So what do you put in this place? In a black neighborhood in Chicago and in other cities, Detroit, I've been to Milwaukee, they got that term food desert appliance. There are no stores. So how do you go ahead and put something into those food deserts when them Dominick stores, they're closing? They ain't in a black neighborhood. Not here in Chicago. So what do you go ahead and put there? You ain't got none there, so you got to start from scratch. And this is one reason I keep on saying what that brother's doing over there on 69th Street.
What do you mean by starting from scratch?
What I mean by starting from scratch is going ahead and getting your own gardens and going ahead and putting that stuff out there and going ahead and growing your own produce. Go ahead, you can't do that.
You can't do business. You mean that's about like saying black folks is going to go back to cutting wood rather than using gas. They're not going
to
do that, man.
I think we need to do that because there's a lot of stuff we missed in that.
Brother, ain't nobody
going
to do that. You can't compete. You want us to go to burning gas, and Asians is using fuel cells.
We are not at that. We don't have it like that.
There are African Americans in this country that does have that ability to do those things.
Yeah, but
what they doing with their resources?
First thing, Rob, you have to understand is this is the tone that we're setting right here will discourage anybody from getting the thing. We have to get to the point where we can't stop being, we got to stop being this almost hateful of black people who are successful. People are successful.
I think you missed my whole point.
But I'm saying you can't just tell somebody, what are they doing? Well, first of all,
we have never had the opportunity. I'm going to say it again, and I said it a couple of times. Black wealth is 20 times less than white wealth in America.
That means you don't have the resources.
How does it compare to Arab wealth?
Can I say something about that? Black wealth is 20 times less than white wealth. When you purchase a existing profitable business, the wealth of that business transfers to you. So you instantly acquire wealth. This is not something we make up. This is something that is factual. every single person on this phone, every person that this is not something that we got to have $50 million to do. It doesn't
that,
require
we don't have,
that
so
much.
So how do we get that? We everybody
that
don't have
not,
the ability to purchase that
the,
business.
The reason, we do have the ability, but you don't want to listen to someone trying to tell you that how we can do it because you're so stuck on your way. Your way is good. We need both plans to work. This is not about a competition of whether your way is right or my way is right. We need all cylinders working at the same time. So while you out there,
we need all cylinders working at the same time, but I'm still not going ahead trying to go. I'm still not hearing. Well, hey, look, these brothers and sisters is out here who got beautiful ideas, but ain't got no money.
Let me
make this point because it's not getting heard. These brothers and sisters out here got no money, but they also got tainted backgrounds. Okay, but they got something else. They got kids they got to worry about. They got this, they got that.
Right.
They got
nothing. Look, this is not for everybody.
There's
no reason. A person can have a felony and have robbed 12 banks and killed 29 people and still own a corporation and buy a business. There's nothing stopping them from doing that, man. That's what levels the playing field. But that same person cannot go down the street to McDonald's and get a damn job. So that person needs to understand how to buy a business before they try to get into that other system. So we need to understand how to operate in a corporate structure, how to utilize finances and a higher level to bring wealth to our community.
Right. We have to take it to the next level.
Well, let me say another thing.
One thing is, your expectations, start listening to people like buy Devon Bell's books. You know, start listening to the Comedic Pipeline show, the Black Wall Street show every Thursday night. Well, this is what stuff we talk about. We educate people about how business works.
Another drawback in the black community is that the profits that's generated by whoever don't stay there. They go elsewhere. That's why come you need – see, black folks is going to be exploited by somebody. But when you rather for your own people to exploit you, you will at least have an opportunity to derive and maintain some of those profits within your own community.
Right.
Your kids won't have to be standing on the red light at the intersection with buckets and pots begging for money to send them to camp and to the ambassador, cheerleader uniforms and stuff like that. You don't see no Asians standing out there doing that.
That's our fault. That's our fault. May I get in here?
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Listen, I'm trying to get you brothers to understand. I retired as an investor 2 years ago. I'm very fortunate. I'm very grateful. A lot of our brothers I do know do have money across this country. All black folks ain't poor. They are willing and want to invest dollars, but it has to be viable, and it can't be one or two people becoming wealthy. The reality is the name of the game that we're in at this present time, it has to be collaborative entrepreneurship. I've said that several times. And we can open up a grocery store and a little fast food chain. We got 7 stores. Say, for instance, you open up with a corner store, grocery store, fast food that sells good food. Takes about $50,000 to $60,000 to open that up. When you open, the true investors open it up, and then once the store is open and viable, then you have a town hall meeting and you let the people that live in that community buy a piece of that business. May I finish? Let them buy 80% of that business. So, in other words, whether it be $5 or $50, whether you had 1,000 or 2,000 people in that community, now they own 80% of that store. The other 15% of that store is owned by the other communities, just like it, and the other 5 is used to admin and operate. In doing that, you can duplicate yourself over and over and over with the same seed money, just like we did when we were shorties, when we slung dope. We bought an ounce, turned it into a pound, turned a pound into a kilo. It's the same principle that we did. And these shorties know how to do that. They want to do that. They don't want to sell drugs on the corner. They would rather own the business on the corner. Now, to get that let me finish, please. And the bottom line is, we have to build where we live, grow what we eat, sow what we wear, and buy where we own. That changes the game overnight without permission, and you don't need a whole lot of money to get started. You just need some committed brothers to make a change, and that changes the game.
You know, I think I told Mr. Economics about the association, the agriculture, Black Agriculture Associations in the South. You would have to go to them, and they would schedule farmers to come up with the quantities that you need in order to stack the shelves, not the shelves, but the racks, the produce racks in your stores. Now, is all that going? What they come fall short of, then you have to continue on with the suppliers that was,
right.
that was supplying this store before you came on board.
It's called vertical integration. That's
you wean yourself off of them very gradually, not all at once. Same thing that Mugabe done on in Zimbabwe.
Yeah,
he didn't get rid of all the white farmers at one
time.
He done them one or two at a time.
Like Japan did. Japan did the same exact system. You know, they winged them. They took them 30 years so they could basically build up their own shipping fleet. They had to outsource their shipping throughout the world to different companies, you know, different countries. Say, look, you ship around, even around their own home islands. And then, you know, gradually they learned about shipping, and they start adding in liners here, a line here, a line here. Pretty soon, Mitsubishi had a shipping fleet all around the Japanese island. Then they was able to basically expand it to Asia. That's how they took over Korea. You know, it's a gradual process, you know.
Another thing you do is take control of those cash flow businesses that Black folks participate in, the ones where they i.e. use that SNAP card. That's cash flow.
Yeah, that's what we do. That's what we do with the Comedic Pipeline. We have a debit card, the Comedic Pipeline debit card, which we basically give rewards of points for spending money back into the Black business. I would urge everybody to go to the Comedic Pipeline website and the Black Wall Street website. You guys, you brothers sound like you're definitely people that want to link up with us, you know? And we're going to, you know, when you come in and everything like that, we have different organizations that join. They do their own thing, you know, but they just follow the protocol. And we're going to blow this thing. We're going to have a million subscribers by the end of the year. And we're going to basically be able to fund 70 businesses a month. We're going to be able to have at least $10 million a month in the spiral funding program to fund Black businesses. This money, Black businesses don't have to pay back. But the basic thing is we want to preach vertical integration. You have a business, we want you doing business with other Black businesses. We want you employing Black businesses. We want you helping out with nonprofits and all these other things, you know. If you have an idea or something like that and needs funding, whatever, we can get you the funds, the money. We will get you the money, you know.
What that gentleman said about the selling, that was like what they called model cities back in the 70s. And that is an excellent program because that way the people in the community own part of the business. They want to be part of it, and they want to be successful. They can see dividends that's paid to them periodically from based off their participation in the retail activities of the store. Excellent idea.
Yep. People should have an ownership stake in what you're doing.
So isn't that similar to like what Marcus Garvey was talking about?
Yeah, Marcus Garvey said that. But like I said, he started the Black Star Line by selling $5 shares.
But hold on.
He was able to purchase a shipping
fleet. What I'm getting at is this. A lot of these ideas have already been put out there before, you know, so it is time to go ahead and
implement it.
Ideas.
It's never been implemented. It's now time to implement it. The reason why it's happening now is because of the economic recession, and we got the Internet. More and more people are conversating and communicating with each other. I wouldn't know half of any of you if it wasn't for the Internet. The Internet is bringing all these ideas to the forefront, and the new ideologies about Black businesses is taking shape. So let's not jump on people if they haven't done it already. You know, this is all new because everything we saw on television and newspapers and the magazines was about integration, being American. Now Black people are seeing, well, geez, man, let me see about opening up my office in Nigeria. We got a Black man I just read on the Niger blog who's in Nigeria who's making millions of dollars. He moved his construction firm in Ogun State, Nigeria. And he's making millions of dollars. He's branching off to Tanzania and different other countries. You know, you don't hear about that. You will never hear that about that in the American media, but it's happening. You know, so the bottom line is happening because people are getting knowledge. As more and more people get knowledge and everything, they see, well, geez, I wasn't crazy about that.
Hold on, I got, less than a minute left. If you want to hear the rest of the show, we're going to go ahead and go into maybe about another 20 minutes over time. We can go ahead and continue the discussion. I want everybody to take a break real quick. I want to run something real fast. Here. Everybody take a quick one. show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio. And that brother who was here, who was talking to, we were talking to the black conservative. Let me clarify that. The black Republican, he has dropped off the line. So we're just continuing this conversation. And basically,
you know, the brother in Nigeria that I can't never pronounce his right name right, who's in CMIT, Kayla Noah. What's his name, Kayla?
Illegal Dangote.
Dangote is starting food processing.
Yeah.
Ooh, now check this out.
He does juice. He does fruit juice. He does pasta and fruit juice, sugar. He does all different types of products that he's selling all over the world. You know, it's amazing.
Right. If he could produce canned goods for us. And
oh yeah, I have,
don't put the label on it. Don't put the label on it. Ship them here and to open up a plant where the labels are installed here. In other words, it's pre-manufactured there and finished manufactured here. Heck, this government will pay for that labeling process here in the United States.
Hold on, let me add to that real quick. Yeah, you know what? And Brother Dolphin, yeah, I'm going to get with you because that was something I was trying to bring up to you a little while ago. I saw that thing on her. And Brother Pianca, you always bringing up bringing products from Africa, and there's no tariffs. And the U.S., man, what was it called? I know that they got like 39 countries.
AGOA, African Growth and Opportunity Act.
Hold on, Kayla. Let me spit it out here. Hold on. It's 39 countries that the U.S. is talking about. They pretty much don't have, you ain't got to pay no tariffs, and you can send stuff there. But here's my biggest problem. I think out of those 39 countries, I think they may have like two of them. They may have like black ambassadors. And when you go here, that information is really not making it to black folks. That information is making it to white folks. And
a lot
that,
of Chinese
I got a
too.
Problem
a lot
with
Chinese,
that because
a lot of Chinese. A lot of Chinese.
I'm not dealing with the Chinese. Right now we're dealing with America.
No, what I'm saying
I want to deal with
saying,
the America
I'm
right now. Because with the black people
point,
in America involved in that, and that information is not getting to America.
Right.
So one
it's
is
out there,
is,
but people. But it's out there, but people just, when you talk about
brother,
Africa,
brother,
people just get all scared.
Hey.
Just scared. Oh, my God.
Hold on. I usually go ahead and I make my peace and I sit back and let everybody go at it. So just relax. My thing is like this. We don't have a real strong media apparatus, and as much time as I try to do some shows and other people try to do shows, I like to see something done on a bigger scale. But we don't have nobody putting out that kind of information because this brother is going ahead and making, creating these products and sending them out trying to do some stuff. That's the same thing with a lot of these different places. All these do the same shit. They go ahead, a lot of their products, they slap a label on them. I knew somebody who was driving trucks who would go ahead and pick up the same product, and he was picking it from a place who was just slapping labels on it. Walmart's good for that stuff, too. So my point is this. We there are some things we have in place, and we can go ahead and try to work on those things here, but I think that we're really not going ahead and focusing in on that kind of stuff to go ahead and reach out to the different countries in Africa because that with all the land and resources over there, I think that's a real big thing that we miss overlooking. A lot of people are overlooking that we can go ahead and do things from off the continent over there. Y'all agree with that?
Yeah, that's what we're doing now. What are we talking about?
We're talking about the same thing. You know,
yeah, you saying that
exactly
people don't know nothing about it because they're not listening. I talk about it all the time.
How are they going to get that information? I mean,
brother, I can't get on NBC now.
Let me say this. When I go ahead and say that, hey, look, that information is not getting out, and I had stumbled across that information, and you know that information has been coming out. Kayla tried to go ahead and mention about what's going on in China.
There's some
black small business organizations
that support black small businesses and loans and, you know, provide them with doggone where they can come in and use office space. I can't think what they call it. And every month they have meetings where they congratulate new members. And occasionally I go by and talk to them and tell them about these opportunities. I've been talking about this. I even used to produce a VHS tapes. Go to show you how long I've been doing it, showing about opportunities in Africa.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's not. I don't think there's too many people that's going. It's in the black community going in and putting that information out.
They will pretty soon.
Yeah, it's happening. It's happening more than every time I look around. I'm almost forgetting how many people that I come across as involved in all this. It's just like I'm oh yeah, I remember that person. There's all different types of think tanks and groups out there developing strategies and everything like that for trading with Africa. That's out there. The groundswell is there. You know, we can't understand something, Rob. Not everybody is going to. You got something. There's people that are leaders, managers, and there's people that are followers who are going to think. The people that are doing this, like myself and everything like that, you just have to basically say, okay, we're in a sort of leadership position, you know, and our job is just to get the information out there as much as we can and everything like that, and the people will follow. Some people just want to basically follow. They'll follow you if they know you if the plan is good and they know it's going to work. They're saying, you know, not everybody's going to be on this 125 hours
a
day.
But you're saying some people. So what's the tried and true method? What do we need to do to go ahead and get these people to know what's going on?
No, what I'm saying is you got to get the key people knowing. You got to get the people that's going to implement this, everybody on one same page and say, this is what we're trying
okay,
to do.
Okay, so
we're trying
like
to,
I said, you get.
You need,
get
he said you need a core. You need a core. That's what he's saying. You need
a core.
Don't worry about the masses. You get a core together first, and then it'll fall in place.
A cartel, like J.R. Ewing on Dallas.
Like consortiums. You know, consortium, business organization, that's what you need, you know. And then when people say black, that's what the Black Wall Street Group was for. That's why I want to build Black Wall Street and Committee Pipeline as the core. We all have our different businesses and everything like that, but that one, I want that to be the core of everything we do. Now, you know, for me, I don't promote anything that I don't 100% believe in, that I haven't checked out and I know it's viable. The people that's doing the Black Wall Street Committee Pipeline, we need all the minds, we need the Priyankis, we need everybody joining in this because we're all going to basically come up from this. We just close ranks and build together. You know, I do believe the Black Wall Street 2.0. Now, the Black Wall Street USA is a different.
Let me ask you a question real quick.
Which Black Wall Street are you talking about?
This is Black Wall Street International, not Black Wall Street USA. Black Wall Street USA, we're trying to buy them out. We're negotiating now. And I was on a conference call last Saturday, and we're trying to buy them out. But they're basically, you know, I don't want to put the business out there like that. But the thing is, negotiations are the fact that they're charging people every month, and people are dissatisfied and everything. We're saying we don't want to. We just want them out the way so people can utilize us. They can still be involved and have the Black Wall Street USA, but we just want their members to basically take advantage of what we're offering. We're not saying
now
what
is Black Wall Street USA. So what is Black Wall Street USA? Who and where
okay,
is Black
Wall
Street?
Okay, Black Wall Street is used to run by a reverend. He's in California, and he has he has subscribers that are non-black. You know, that's one thing we red flags with us. But he has a membership of people who basically across the country who have chapters who contribute $64 a month, but they don't get nothing for the services. You know,
okay.
And so the bottom line, what we're doing the same is we got a database of black businesses. We're connected by them. We do business training, and we give funding for businesses that they don't have to pay back. Go to our Spiral funding page. We're saying for $10 a month, we're creating a pool. Just not to mention the fact that we're going to have our first own black African American owned stock exchange up online pretty soon. You know, by which we could raise capital up to $60-70 million. You know. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take this around the world. Our goal is to have the honest stock exchange in a sovereign African country by which we can basically invest in major industries. But Spiral funding is for the small businesses. That's what the small business operation is for. We want to fund small black businesses. If you were a baker or you're a painter or you're a carpenter and everything, you need tools and everything like that. We want your business right. We want you to have a payroll. We want you to have your taxes right. We want you to have business insurance. We want you to have all that stuff like that. Why? Because as we put all this data together, we can go to anybody and say, look, this is where our businesses are generated. Tell me any black organization that we say, oh, yeah, we got all these things like that. Can they ever show you their books? Can they ever show you? And it's not putting them down. It's the fact that we have traditionally not really, on the whole, not everybody, have done business right. That's why you see black businesses fail. We have to value customer service. We have to have accountability. We have to have compliance. We have all those things we're working on to really build us to the point where we're completely independent and we have our own commerce because it's not just the business. It's what the business generates. if you have a business, you have a restaurant, do you know how much a restaurant purchases a year? A restaurant purchases everything from wine to liquor to chicken to produce, everything like that. When you put that on the thing and say, yeah, this is what we did last year. We purchased this many fish last year. Well, now you know that, okay, this person, this restaurant purchased this much of fish. This restaurant, we get all these restaurants together and agree to buy, to form a new wholesaling produce company, then we're in business. You know, you're not in business until you're able to buy all the stuff yourself, right down to the fact that when you get so big, you start investing in your own farms, your own fish farms and everything to supply your
right,
own market.
Right, help Claude Anderson to expand.
Yeah, we base the Black Wall Street all on Claude Anderson, too.
Hey, hold on. Now, I've been doing a lot of research on that fish farming thing, and actually, I ain't got to that big scale where I got the big old warehouses or the fish farming.
Man, all you gotta do is talk to Claude.
Let me make my point. Hold on, let me make my point. I got 70-gallon tanks, and I'm doing kind of well with. I got tilapia in three of them, and catfish in one. Okay, and I got some lettuce and some other stuff and bok choy and some other stuff in growing in these tanks. And I'm trying to go ahead and do it on this small scale so I can prepare to go ahead and do it on a bigger scale. And what this one brother was telling me about Dr. Claude Anderson, which I got a lot of my information from him, got started from him, is Dr. Claude Anderson is charging a pretty penny. And so I ain't
penny
got no
for
problem
what?
With the brother trying to make money, but, you know, again, but
he's charging a penny for what?
He was trying to charge my guy about $9 million to go ahead and set
him up. Nine what?
$9
million. Well, he told me $1 million.
See that?
So I don't know what your guy is coming from. I mean, just do the math. How many tanks do we have? I mean, it's just.
And he's not the only one. And he's not
the
only one that knows how to do that.
And he's not on that. Okay, listen. That's
he's
that
the largest
point.
In the country right now, I think. But just do the math.
Size doesn't matter. It's that is not rocket science. How to raise your own fish? It's not rocket science.
That's what I was getting at when I got my tanks, and I think I got close to maybe 300 300 freaking tilapia and maybe like 50 catfish right now. And I just got these. They just started growing. I just got them within the last month. So they start growing. So a few
well, you know what? Some information that he can tell
hold
you,
on, brother,
especially
Johnny,
by dealing
this.
With the EPA, is very, very valuable. Because you just
hold
can't
on,
open
let me
up.
Let me say this. My thing is like this. What that brother is showing, and I went and tried to copy some of the stuff from his videos and then going to aquaponic stores, I don't think I need Dr. Claude Anderson at this point. I can go ahead and do some stuff of my own, and he's talking about doing stuff for Black people about Powernomics. I think I can go ahead and do something a little bit better than that and try to show some people something else, because I'm going to go ahead and
Let me ask you a question. You're going to compete
ahead.
Against him, huh?
I ain't trying to
rather
compete.
Rather than joining on to him.
I'm in Chicago. He's on the East Coast. I'm in Chicago.
Well, that don't mean anything. I got a steel erection business. I wrecked a steel here in this area, and I wrecked it still up in Detroit, too.
I joint ventured
with people in Georgia. So I didn't go out and do the one me two, me three thing. I would rather make 5% in 20 different locations than try to make 100% in one.
I see it totally different. I feel that, hey, look, what that brother's doing, go ahead. I'm not knocking that brother. That's how you think you can go ahead and deal with the problem. Go ahead, but I think for me to go ahead and try to put some people in the business to go ahead and try to go ahead and do that, I think I can go make a profit for myself and make a profit.
All right, I understand where you're coming from now. I understand where you're coming from.
So we all can come up at the same time. That's my
thing.
That's what I'm trying to do.
May I interject here, please? One thing that's important to keep us from going back into our old mistakes. We cannot have a centralized control. They will attack it. It's so important that we become decentralized, yet the same ideas. And each area, each region, each tribe, each whatever you want to call it, become fully self-supporting, self-sustaining. I mean, it's enough people in Chicago, Black people, enough fish in Chicago alone that, you know, you can do the tanks here to feed the people in Chicago. Same thing in Detroit. Same thing in any place that you go. As a matter of fact, the key to a real food chain is being local. But local, and these Europeans know that. That is why they're taking all these vacant lots throughout all of the communities in the black neighborhood and making them into urban gardens. They plan on pushing black people out of them, and those that are incarcerated with these ankle bracelets will be the new sharecroppers. So we have to realize the food chain, which is a critical part of sustaining human life. The food is the most important thing. Food, then the shelter, then the clothing. If you focus on those three areas, those are the viable businesses. Those are the constantly reusable businesses. And the number one employer in America is the homeowner. They pay the light bill, the gas bill, all the different things, the carpenter, the electricians, the plumbers, everything. So we have to train our children to not only want their own, but own it collectively, but also show them how to use their hands and be decentralized in everything we do. You can duplicate. You can always duplicate. Duplicate, but don't centralize anything.
Right.
You know, you're right. Our biggest expenditures is housing, food, then transportation, i.e. cars.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's two others, beauty supplies, I think is maybe third, fourth or fifth. But no, food is where it's at, man. The most,
everything,
that's
food,
the way you
energy.
Yeah, that's the way you can capture them dollars that you spending is control that food.
Here's the thing about the food industry too. We have to be re-educated on it, because the food that's being used is actually poisoning us. And if you don't think you're being poisoned, get in front of the mirror butt naked and you'll see the poison being put in your system. Also, our youth are being poisoned because of our own demise. They think drinking a pop or something out of a can and something out of a bag is food, and it's not. That's why they have mental and emotional issues. When we go on, if Black Wall Street International, we're going to do what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to do it in a holistic way. We're going to have to do it spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, occupationally, as well as the family. It has to be a holistic approach in order for us to attack this demon that we're dealing with.
Yeah, I agree. I really, like I said, you know, food is the most important thing because everybody got to fucking eat, period. And one thing that
People.
Okay, let me say this. Hold on. Dude, come on, man. My thing is like this. I can, you know, once you get it from the ground, I can teach you how to go ahead and make it a bunch of different ways. And I think with that knowledge that I got and going ahead and sharing that and creating other chefs so we can try to go ahead and get on the same page, and finance and fund another household. Because I don't want to go ahead. I can't do this by myself, and I'd rather not. I'd rather go ahead and I want to go ahead and make that money, but I'd rather go ahead and see you live next door or in the neighborhood or in the city or state or country with people that we almost pretty much on the same level. So I'm not into that whole thing where I'm richer than you kind of shit. I don't do that. I'd rather go ahead and see a bunch of us go ahead and get it from the ground and go ahead and do something with it or learn something from this industry so we can go ahead and advance, because there's a whole lot of opportunities in that farming thing. Go ahead, Caleb.
Well, what built civilization, what made nations rise and fall, was the first the ability of farming, and the second was the ability of food production and food preservation. You know, in other words, the devaluing of food. In other words, basically, my grandmother, when I was down south, my grandmother, we used to go out to the orchard, right, in Wheatsville, North Carolina. We used to go out there and pick apples and pears for, like, hours in the hot sun. You know, just be out there and come home with, like, we used to have a big station wagon, just, like, make two different trips back to the house, you know, with just boxes of apples and everything like that. My grandmother used to take all those apples, right, and she would spend, like, 2 days peeling them, coring them. And then what she did, she boiled them and everything like that, and she would make applesauce, right, and put them in the jars, right? And then she would take those, go, and she had a cupboard in the house, right? That was a storage room, a storage closet that was dark, completely dark and cold, right? And she would take those boxes, right, and fill them with the jars and everything like that, and we would have applesauces and everything like that, a whole room full of nothing but applesauces. and she would either sell them or basically we would have applesauce for the whole entire winter. You know, that's the thing. I grew up, you know, when I was going to talk, I used to grow up watching black people do those things. I wonder how black people survived back in the day. You know, we used to learn how to do those things. Now it seems like that has been lost. You know,
that was my point, Caleb. Let me get to the point. Glad you brought that up, because there's a lot of the skills that we have. Like I said, we take it from the ground. I can teach you some stuff. A lot of that stuff that a lot of us don't have, and a lot of that stuff is you go ahead. That what you just mentioned. Those are money makers. Let me get that.
Can you imagine if somebody said, you know something, you know, I'm gonna take my grandmother's recipe, right? Her applesauce recipe. She used to make sweet potato sauce. Everything like that, yams. She didn't buy no yams from no supermarket, or whatever. She didn't know how to boil them and put them in jars, and then jar them and preserve them and seal them tight in those jars and everything. And we would have all kinds of sauces. If she wanted to make sweet potato pies and everything like that, she'd go open the jars, stuff that we made, we picked ourselves, you know. And I said to myself, now what if basically, if let's say the Nation of Islam, right? You know, I like the bean pies; it's delicious, you know. What if the Nation of Islam side? You know, so we're going to take, instead of basically just taking produce and putting it on a shelf and everything, it's going to go bad, why don't we take this produce and learn how to put this stuff in the jars and everything like that and market them to our people and put them in their stores and different restaurants and everything like that? Nation of Islam probably have a $100 million a year enterprise right now. They would have their brothers out there selling. You would basically go to your restaurant and say, give me, send me 50 cases of that, you know. Send me like that. That's what I mean by enterprise, you know. We don't do that anymore. You know, we basically just, you know, we want something showpiece and everything. Look, this is we have a store here that sells produce and everything. But, yeah, but half the year you don't have nothing on your shelf because you don't understand that, you know, when you do that one harvest and everything like that, you know, after the produce is going to last, it's going to last for like 2 weeks. And then it's bad. You got to throw it out. You know, you got stuff going bad. The whole thing is industry. Black people in America, we have to get into industry. And for industry means that you have to basically have labor, you have to have work, you have to have finance, you have to have transportation, you have to have distribution. You have to have all that together. And what that does is it creates us to the point where we're taking serious. Instead of us basically doing this as part-time, this, that, and the other thing, we're going for the working for the white man. It's not enough just to spend our money with black people. We got to know how to work with other black people, you know. We have to give our time, our energy, our efforts with other black people and work together, you know.
That's a good point. You know, the thing that we have to realize, we have to be re-educated because we haven't been educated. We've been trained like dogs and we can't survive. See, the real purpose of education is to draw out that which is within us. We have to use our minds, our emotions, and our bodies. That's our number one resource. Then we, with mastering that, we have to teach ourselves as well as our youth how to master our mind, our emotions, and our bodies and what goes in it to make it work. And then once we did, that's part of the education. Once we've done that part, then we teach them to control land, labor, and capital. Then you're off and rolling. You have to have them control, because our children don't even know what their mind is made of. They don't even know the components or the faculties of the mind. They don't know anything about their emotions. They know very little about their body except their libidos get high up when they get certain ages. They don't know that they have a nervous system, a reproductive system, an endocrine system, a digestive. They need to know who they are physically. And once they know who they are spiritually, mentally, and physically, then we teach them to control resources. That's land, labor, and capital.
You got to do that with the schools. And in order to do it with the schools, you got to have, if you're going to try to do it with the alternative schools, you got to have the politics in order to make that happen. But, you know, as I was mentioning before, these school lunch programs is a good start.
Listen, it starts with you and me. I show you and the brother, the chief, Rob, he show us. We show each other, then we go show some other people, then they go show some other people. You can't depend on the school system. It's designed to make us fail. The true education, the true school system starts in the home. It starts in the individual families. Then it goes into the community. They're just reflections of us. See, now, in our black community, they're closing schools in Chicago, but the Hispanic community, they're not just closing. They're building the most state-of-the-art schools for their children. So we have to start at home.
Well, let me ask you something. Then why come Hispanics are not doing it at home? Why come they building state-of-the-art schools?
Because they're doing, they starting it at home. They're starting at home. Here's the classic example. Inglewood. Let's use that as an example. You got Hamilton Park. You got Ogden Park. You got Lindblom Park. One is on 71st. One is on 67th. And one is over off of Damon. Every Sunday, you can go out there now on Sunday, you will find them as a family out there cooking together and playing soccer. That's where it starts. And once they do it in the setting or the family, then they take that same thing back to those schools. It's the educational system is an extension of the family education. We have to teach our children who they are. And now we got to – I don't know about you. I'm 58. We have to regroup because we didn't teach the generation behind us. We gave them what they wanted instead of what they needed. They needed to be educated to who they really are, but we gave them what they wanted. Oh my! You get my point. They don't know where they come from.
I've been following black education in schools since Oceanville and Brownville back in the 1970s. You know, the field coordinator for African Center curriculum for the St. Louis chapter of the National Black United Front. And blacks have their independent schools. They just don't have economic components that go with. Yeah,
there
in Chicago, you have
Northeast
University.
Then it's not there.
It is there. It has been there.
When you're teaching your children to go
to
school,
you're
58 get a good
years
education.
Old. You just a junior compared to me.
No, it don't go by age. It goes by spiritual insight. Don't run that one by me.
That don't work. But when it comes down, listen, let me tell you.
Don't run that
That's
by
what
me.
You're saying will work, too. But I'm saying that we need more African-centered schools that's teaching the culture. See, people
Absolutely.
Have to be
Absolutely.
Conditioned. People have to be conditioned to do things. I took some classes out of elementary school. We start off by teaching them food labels under the pretense of food labels so we can take them to a field trip. And I took them to a black supermarket. I had each one to get a grocery list from their parents, get $5. And I took them to a black supermarket so they could spend there. That's conditioning. Condition them to do, you know, to spend with black grocery market. Now, the only thing wrong with the grocery store, which is called Ewers Market, is that the stuff that they sell in there is not produced by, you know, black farmers and so on and so on and so on. But what you're saying is good, but we still need to have those other things also.
I'm not arguing. We're not arguing. The most important thing is that we got to stop talking, just talking. Because we have a short window. We have a short window.
Let's basically, everybody get on the same page. I urge everybody to go to Spiral Funding, but just look at the webpage.
What's the web page?
It's in the. Are you in the chat room?
No.
Okay.
Tell me what's the web page. I'm not in front of a computer.
www.spiralfunding.com.
Spiralfunding.com?
Yes, spiralfunding.com.
Spiral Funding. Okay, I'll take a look at that.
Yeah,
spiralfunding.com.
And they got a little video in there. You can check a look at. You know, and one of our administrators is sitting there with the President of the United States. And like I said, this is black through and through. You know, this is white. This is going to be completely black finance, so we'll be able to do whatever we want to do. We're going to basically in the future we're going to have our own PayPal system, electronic money transfer system, because Devon Bell we gave some money to a brother to open up a radio station in Ghana, and it kind of got a little sidetracked. You'll say, oh, you want to transfer this amount of money? Do you know this person, this, that, and the other thing? But we don't want any of that. We want to basically one day be completely independent where we can have our own money transfer, everything. You know?
Completely sovereign.
Well, that is something that you need, too, that money transfer, because we got to do better than Western Union and MoneyGram, but – Man, you know that when you transfer money, Kayla, into those former French colonies, that the French treasury takes 10% of it?
Yeah, right. I don't want, like
ain't that
I said,
a bitch?
We, yeah. Yeah, it's a mess, and we want to get into our monetary system, and that's what Rosenthal Group is trying to establish, the African Bullion Bank in Africa, the Gold Bullion Bank in Africa. There's all kinds of people doing these things, but like I said, you know, it's the one of the problems is, like I said, black people are passively ignorant. In other words, you know, we're doing this stuff, right? Black people are like, yeah, you know, we hear this and everything. And they're going out, and when you see them, they got their football jerseys on, and they're worried about football season. You know, that's
right.
Massive, you know?
Man,
so, like I said,
man.
Those of us who know all the stuff like that, we have to get together. And don't get frustrated when you see like that. Those people are going to be like, well, geez, man, I always wanted my own business. Well, hey, you know, I'm not going to, like I tell people all the time, if I'm doing all this work right now, doing all this stuff right here, and the people that do like that, they're going to be the ones that basically benefit from it. When this takes off, there's going to be new millionaires and billionaires in Black America, you know? And the people that's doing this are the people that are in it first. Everybody else be taken care of, but guess what? You're going to have to wait in line. Why? Because you had other, you didn't think this was important before, you know? It's like using a biblical pattern, it's the ark, Noah's ark. You know, when the storm came, everybody laughed at Noah when he was building the ark. When the storm came, I know Cleon, you know, like Bible references, but I'll just use an example. If you basically, when the ark came and the flood started coming, everybody, let me in. That's how people watch human nature. Everybody look at you like you're crazy. But then when you take off, they're like, wow, you know, yeah, let me get on now, you know. Or another contemporary thing, Biz Marquis, the vapors. You know, they call it the vapors. You know, but that's the way it is. We just have to be due diligent and do what we're doing. And all active minds, and all of these people get together, pull our minds and resources together, and start building, you know, together. You know, and then the people will follow. When they start seeing this stuff rolling out, and they start seeing these conventions we're having, and we start putting out our press releases and everything, and they're like, okay, these guys are doing something. And we're sitting out heads of state and everything. They're like, oh, wow, these guys are really got it going on. You know, these guys, wow, that's in every community you see a Black Wall Street sign and everything everywhere popping up and everything. Like, wow, that's what I'm talking about. That's how you get Black people. You know, the average Black person's not going to sit there and, you know, they'll say, okay, they'll listen to you, then they'll turn you off and go back and listen to Rick Ross on the radio.
Where are you at, brother, with Spiral Funding? I'm in
Virginia Beach. You know, I'm working on. I've been promoted in the Black Wall Street division to be an advisor on Africa. You know,
okay.
Like I said, you know, after you know a couple other people, and they just figured, you know, about all the people that deal with Africa, I'm you know the one that has the most. Now, I'm not putting myself up there and nothing like that. But they say because I'm involved in Liberia, I have an organization which I'm connected to. Very important people in the country
good.
Of Liberia. I'm trying to make that our base of operations in Africa. You know.
Okay. Well, listen. In Chicago, I'm out of Texas, but I'm in Chicago on this mission here with this Highway to Freedom, Life Builders United. We need 7 Black Wall Street districts in the Chicagoland area. And
brother,
you can have it.
Please, you know. You know,
okay, check this out.
Go ahead.
This is what we're because you know, Brother Dolphin, you and I, we talked a few times. So we're going to start this series of I told you about doing the networking breakfast, the pamphlet networking breakfast.
Right. We need to do that ASAP.
Yeah, because I think I need one more fucking little thing. But I got the majority of the equipment, and I got, because I know over there at the place we don't have stuff over there, you know, total stuff over there, but, you know, I know
no,
you got the restaurant, but I don't want to interfere with that. I'm going to try to do everything I can to bring stuff in. But I want to go ahead and touch with, because, like, Brother Caleb, what you saying, I know the Black Wall Street people that's here, and I don't know the brother.
They're not affiliated with us. We're trying to buy.
Oh, bro, let me speak.
Because there's two of them. There's two of them here. It's two of them. Ron Carter and Mark Allen.
I know that. The ones that's here in Chicago. The ones that's here in Chicago. I know about what they were doing, and I know what they were doing. As a matter of fact, the ones that's here in Chicago, I know the accountant for them. Okay. So I know what that sister was saying about them. She told me firsthand on what's not going on with them. And the brother that's in Oakland, what they doing over there. I know what he's in there. And these people over here were trying to answer to him. So the Black Wall Street people, I can go ahead and get some of them on board, but they want to go ahead and come under a new umbrella. I want to try to get them over there to this
bro,
spot over here on 69.
You give them, you, You get
Come on, Kelly, can you let me finish, man?
Well.
Let me finish. Hold
yeah,
on.
Man.
Let me just, I want to get them over. I want to get everybody over here to this spot here on 69th Street and go ahead. We have a whole different, we'll go ahead. We work on doing this thing and pull it in, man. Everybody bring out the ideas and go ahead and get what's going on. Because I know that the Kemetic Pipeline, I don't know personally, but I don't
you
think
you want
they
me
have,
to tell you what ideas are supposed to look like?
Come on, Panky, let me say this real fast. I know that the Kemetic Pipeline don't have a real serious Chicago connection because almost no group gets a real hold on Chicago. Chicago be all up and out and all doing all kinds of crazy shit. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
They don't really go on with a whole lot of stuff, man. I keep hearing so many people say we try to open up something in Chicago and you can't get a grasp on what's going on, and that's why it's so chaotic and that's why it's so many murders, because nobody can go ahead and get these people attention over here because people are trying to do so much independent silly ass shit. Go ahead, bro.
You know what your ideas should look like? Your ideas should be in the form of what I see coming in my mail or across my internet, my email from time to time. It's business plans.
Yeah,
whether they communication business plan with some Zambians or wanting to get involved in what they gonna have that's gonna be having revenues up to $300 million by 2017, or whether it's brother that started transportation, commuter transportation in Nigeria.
Brother Pianki, I've sat in where people have go ahead and they're trying to explain a 50, 60, 100-page business plan here for doing stuff, man. And I've seen people go ahead and they had a bigger business plan. I don't know. I can't get quite a grasp on what's going on here. But there's a problem. Again, sometimes I'll be like, these fuckers are stupid or they don't get it. It's some stuff going on.
Well, it ain't
here
for everybody. That's what I keep telling you. In one way to make sure that it works is that you walk your prices, backwards. You're going to take something off the shelf in a store, then walk it backwards to its source. And that's the way you see whether or not it's a viable business. And whatever you're competing against, we're going to have the quality just as good or better, and the price
right
is going to have to be
right
somewhat
and
cheaper.
One thing
and the customer service.
That customer service thing, one thing I always say is black people don't know how to be customers.
We don't know how to be customers.
Black people don't know how to be customers nowhere.
Well, it's a culture, Rob. It's a culture. Let me tell you something. It's a culture. And this is why how you come in is how we're going to end up. And like I tell people all the time. And I had me and John St. Clair, the president of Black Wall Street International, me and him and I had a conversation 2 hours the other night. And I said, he talked about this business that he sold in Dayton, a Jamaican store and everything. And he was basically, what we do is we critique businesses and everything. You know, it's prospect, you know. And he says the hours sometimes they're not open. And he said they got good food and everything, but they should expand their menu. The prices are okay, but they're a little high, the portions. And the bottom line is this. When you go into a black business, tell me this is not true for the most part. When you go into a black business and everything, if you see the owner there, it's almost like you got people sitting around, and you walk in and you feel like you're a stranger. You know, oh, yeah, they're all together. What we have to do is change the employee-worker culture.
Somebody just said the customer service. We don't know how to be customers, and
Let me say this. When people come into your business, right, when you come into your business, they come into that store. If that employee is on your payroll, while he's on your he or she's on your clock, they should say, "Hi, how you doing, sir? How can I take your order?" And just and everything should be the thing. And you as a business owner should make sure you let that person know that person you come into that store, that's my customer. You know, if you disrespect that customer, you're disrespecting me. You don't get that with a lot of black businesses and everything. You complain about something, you say the other thing, and the worker will tell you off and everything like that, and the owner will be like, oh, okay, you say the other thing, and they're back laughing about it. You know what I'm saying? You know something? I want to support my people, man, but I'm not going to do it. You know what?
One of the things that we're missing is not so much saying, hey, look, that one thing we don't go ahead and tell our employees is, hey, look, that's your money going out that door. If that money going out that damn door here, that means your ass going to be going out that door soon. And stop,
yeah,
we can't go ahead and beat around the bush.
That's the way black businesses have to function abusive when you basically have a point. They can't be showing up late. They can't be showing up work high. They can't be dressed any kind of way. They're presented.
And that's why I fired two relatives over the weekend for that same reason. Poor attitude, and then think they privileged and want to eat up half the store. I got rid of them. It's been a whole lot better ever since.
No, yeah, not from the restaurant over there. Hold on. From the restaurant I went to, man?
I fired my sister and her son.
Oh, man. The one that was cooking?
No, that's not my sister.
Okay, I was over there cooking with that brother, man, and I like that place over there.
Oh,
we don't have to go ahead and do some shows
from
that place.
No, he's cool. Now, Marcus, he's a go-getter, but Marcus gets high, and I had to tell him about, man, you can't work for me high.
I want to go ahead and teach him, see another, like your mom was explaining to him about going ahead and doing the omelets versus doing the omelets in the pan versus doing them on the grill. So, you know, this is another thing to go ahead and bring in the customers by going ahead, oh, that omelet tastes so great. And we're dealing with the food game. I mean, everybody's got the other little business and stuff, you know, Caleb, Brother Bianchi. But for me, I go ahead and I'll be like, no, and your mom was explaining to him, go ahead and do it out the pan, and he didn't want to do that because there's a whole other different taste. And there's some other little tricks I can go ahead and
what
show
kind
you.
Of
that's
pan, like a skillet?
Yeah, it's got to be a skillet.
No, not a skillet.
And she made, Ben,
hold
she
on,
made
hold on,
it.
Hold on.
Just for your information, Chief Rob, she did it the way you said. She said that omelet was so good, it just did. She did another one for herself this morning.
So how you do yours, Rob? The best omelets I ever have, I got them over in Egypt, man. How you do yours? They do theirs in a pan like that, too.
Exactly
in a pan, not a skillet. If you go ahead, technically a skillet, go ahead and break your wrist. You do it in a pan, something that's a little bit light.
I'm sorry.
And you go ahead, you have it in a pan. What you do, hold on. You go ahead and you get your eggs, you beat them up, you go ahead and throw a little cream, some other dairy product to fluff them up. And then
the ingredients? You have them all there fresh?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. That's the way we do it. We go there, the cook do all that, then we tell them we want some mushroom, we want some green peppers or some onion.
All those things that you put in an omelet got to come from somewhere. Every time you have something, you're creating opportunity, you know?
Absolutely,
you're
right. We agree with that, Caleb.
Is the fact that when you look at your inventory list and whatnot, you know?
But you know what, Caleb? Hold on. But you know something, man? I don't see them dealing with farms. I don't really see them deal with farms.
Hold on.
Hold on. Brother Bianchi, you and I, the number you gave me, I was trying to get in touch with them brothers. They never got back with me about the farmers down there. I can't remember the groups.
Rob,
they never got back to me.
Let me tell you about commercial farm. Let me say something real quick about commercial farm.
Okay.
Now, when you talk about commercial farm, right, let's talk about a farm. My granddaddy used to farm. You know, we used to have
so much land in
Weeksville, North Carolina and everything. We used to have so much land. A farmer, let me say a corn farmer and everything, for the most part, some of that corn he can basically save back and distribute to local markets, make the money aside. But for the most part, when he does the harvest and everything, it goes into what they call a combine, and it's already bought. It's,
see,
hold on.
We was talking about breakfast. Now, when you go ahead and you deal with breakfast, that's the ingredients in breakfast. I don't think too many people putting corn in the omelets. So Let me finish. When you go ahead and you deal with that breakfast here, that stuff right there, that's a whole industry in itself. When you're dealing with eggs, the eggs you ain't just doing
right.
The omelets, you can go ahead and make a whole lot of other stuff. So here's
right.
The deal. You don't need. Let me finish. You don't need as much space to go ahead and do it with just them breakfast items, and you can put an employ
right.
A lot more
I
people
agree.
With all that stuff.
Right.
So
right,
here,
right,
here's
I
the
agree.
Thing. So It's a little bit of land. Even in your backyard, you can go ahead and get stuff you need to go ahead and run. And like with Brother Dolphin with his restaurant. Hold on. Wait a minute. Well, let me finish then. But here's the thing: with the brothers' operation over there, he with just maybe an acre, maybe 2 acres, he can go ahead and have enough stuff in his place to go ahead and supply his place and then other places. Okay, and that's the kind of thing I'm trying to push.
Right. I agree with you 100%. Well, as far as restaurants are concerned, you should be able to have your own produce farms that basically supply your restaurant. That's one thing, you know. But at the same time, let's say you have your restaurants and everything like that, and some grocery store or whatever like that decides to come to your supplier and say, let's say if you grow it yourself, that's fine, but you guys still got to put time and intensive into that. But let's say you you have these farms and everything,
Caleb,
small farms.
But Caleb, but
small
but
restaurant.
Here's
if somebody
the
comes by and says, I'm gonna offer you more money to buy your crops and everything, and you're stuck there without in the restaurant without without supplies that you're supplying on. So what you have
but
to
here's, listen. When you go ahead and you got your own stuff, you can go ahead and run your own stuff. You got your own farm, okay? You produce, you got your eggs, you got your chickens, and you can go ahead and do your tomatoes. You can go ahead and grow your mushrooms. Mushrooms don't take nothing to go ahead and grow. You can go ahead and do bell peppers and your onions, all that stuff, you know, and whatever little meat you want, you can go ahead and bring that in and go ahead and do that. You can have your own little smokehouse and do that stuff. That's a lot easier than trying to go ahead and deal with some of these other little stores and bring them in, and you can go ahead and put a lot more people to work. That's what I'm getting at.
Right, I agree. You create an economic system, you know. I agree with that. And the restaurant is like the magnet that draws it all in. So as long as people buy in the restaurant, it's like it's vertically integrated. You got the produce here that's supplying this and everything like that. And then you get more restaurants, you expand. You know, yes, I agree with that.
Well, you know, to make that
profitable,
you're going to have about 100. How much you going to sell an omelet for? About $30?
Well,
yeah,
see,
that's what I'm saying. The price is a difference, you know.
No. I'm not just talking. Look,
see
that
stuff about farming. Farmers grow food, but you gotta have somebody in between you,
the
restaurant
farmers,
that's gotta process that stuff. Where you just open up a package and take up some chopped up green peppers and chopped up onions right out of the package. You can't be growing stuff, bringing it in, washing it off, chopping it up. Your omelets would be $50, man.
Didn't I just tell you go ahead and create other, it creates other jobs, creates other opportunities. And as you go ahead, when you go ahead and also the stuff that you grow, you don't just need to use it in your restaurant. You can go ahead and
now
set
I can
up another
see doing
sell it.
I can see doing your own eggs and stuff like that, but all those things, you know, gonna have to be. You got to diversify a little bit there.
But it was interesting. I went down to Pembroke over last weekend. I went out there and picked
the
greens myself.
Oh, my goodness, man. You've been down.
I picked the greens myself. I even got the black eyed peas,
and
my customers noticed the difference big time.
And you didn't call me.
It was
fresh. You didn't call me. I've been down there talking to that sister.
The point is that we can cut. You're right when you said that you got to have people in between the farmer and the restaurant, but then you don't need as many chains because, see, like my fish, I am tired as a business owner. I am tired of spending my money with Sam's Club, spending it with Restaurant Depot, spending it with Aldi. I mean, I'm just sick and tired when I can cut that in half. And then it goes into other people's hands. You got 20,000 acres of land in black-owned lands in Pembroke. If done correctly, all that land can be broken up into different things that's needed that can supply the restaurant and the
stores
and some of the grocery stores here locally. And you can put enough greenhouses. You can do this stuff year-round. You can put enough phonics. Each system, if Black Wall Street International, if you're listening,
that's what we're doing. We have the aquaponics program.
Anyway, listen, each region, each location needs to be fully self-supporting, self-sustaining. So if you have overage, then you can go into other regions and other markets. But the key is that's how they enslaved us. My fish that I get right now come from China. That's ridiculous.
Look here, brother.
You got fish from China? Do you know West Africa has the largest fishing ground, the richest fishing grounds in the world? China is now... has his fleet in the Gulf of Guinea and everything, robbing Costa Rica. All these people have these illegal fishing, and Africans are letting them do it by taking bribes and everything. And that's our heritage. I tell Africans all the time, that's our heritage. So
let me show you again. And I got these tilapia growing. Okay, I can show you how to go ahead and do that. I've been looking at the videos, reading the books, and all this stuff for the last 2 years, and I just decided to do it within the last month. And it's a lot simpler just to go ahead and do tilapia and catfish, and you go ahead and put that on your menu, and it cuts down all your food costs right there. It can cut your food costs.
Yeah, you can't sell no buffalo in a restaurant. You kill somebody.
I ain't talking about
no bones.
I ain't talking about
You ain't lying about that.
I want to see. Also, what I haven't seen yet is this. I know here in Virginia Eastern Seashore we still got black crabs. Remember how a couple of years ago that the when that oil spill and everything like that happened, and these white guys down there. Man, black people have been cut out of the crabbing and shrimping. That's a billion-dollar industry. And the
Hold on. When I was doing the research to go ahead and deal with the fish farming and to go ahead and do the aquaponics indoor system.
Also, we have to have saltwater fish farming, too. We have to
Let me give it to you. When I was doing the research on going ahead and getting the, trying to do the indoor aquaponics, okay, when I was coming across that, I saw on how they were doing the freshwater shrimp, and they was also doing freshwater crabs. And then they were also going ahead and showing, I saw a lot of videos and got some information on how to go ahead and do those saltwater crabs. And that stuff is a lot simpler than what you think. What they doing over there on the East Coast and these white farmers, these guys in the crab industry, they're crying because they go, hold on, let me finish. What they're trying to do is trying to get more money out the government. That's what they're doing to subsidize what they're doing. They don't really give a damn about going ahead and whether they're making any money. They're trying to cry and get more money out the government because the stuff is there. The ways to do it is real, real simple. It's extremely simple, and I was shocked at how simple it is.
Yeah, they farm it. They farm. They have farming in the rivers there. They have farms, you know, fenced in, you know, netted in, where they grow every kind of thing, you know. It's amazing how they do it, you know.
That still goes back to, like, a lot of information I got was from the earliest stuff I was reading up on was how Dr. Claude Anderson was talking about with his tilapia and his the information he was putting out. And then I came across literally thousands of other ways to go ahead and do this. The indoor thing is the best way to do it. You can go ahead and it's a better environment. It's a controlled environment. But if you go ahead and you deal with one way to go ahead and to bring in fish with high mercury content and all these other problems is dealing with something that's connected to a river because there's a whole lot of pollutants in the rivers.
Yeah, you gotta. Mm-hmm. If you're gonna, it's best to sell. People buy organic fish and fish that's produced inside rather than people trying to produce some fish in them lakes and stuff, man. That's hard to do. But hey, I'm gonna put a link in there with this one, these black farmers down, and I think they're in Georgia, that's producing this challah. Meat that's conducive to people that's involved in Islam.
I got information on that too. I haven't really studied that too much, but
it's another program that I've been involved in that comes on like 5:30 in the morning on the East. No, here in St. Louis, Brother Kwasi, he have those people you've been trying to contact from numbers that I gave you. They be on the programs in the morning. You usually have guests and so forth. But no, a couple of those places are businesses, man. You should reach a receptionist or something, because when I called them,
I didn't get
the agency, not businesses, but agencies.
But here in Chicago, there's a couple of warehouses here that they've turned into just all indoor farming, and they're selling this stuff to restaurants here. And what they're doing is they're going ahead and selling at that organic price, which is outrageous, which is ridiculous. I don't understand why they're jacking up the price like that. And also, when they go ahead and they come out, they got contracts with the schools and other people, and they're going at the market price, and they can go ahead and set stuff a lot lower to go ahead and make it stuff affordable, but they're not. They're just in it to, you know, I understand make a profit, but they're bleeding people, and they're not really going ahead and doing stuff to help people. That's my thing, is to go ahead and bring black folks into it and to go ahead and get them to a level that we ain't got to go ahead and
there's another link where these blacks, this brother is producing this organic fertilizer. New Medina. He was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of, you know, these things we talking about is already going on.
You don't have
to go out there and recreate them. You just do contact and let them, you know, come up with your plan. I mean, you have to have some numbers in hand so they can tell you, you know, what they would produce and what it's going to cost you. You know, a tractor trail load is what, 50,000 pounds?
Right. And a lot of those things are going for cheap. A lot of things.
Well, you know what? Like you said, we're not here to try to. You got to make a profit, but you know what? When a man has his food, shelter, and clothing taken care of, he's not really all swung up about having a whole lot of money. As long as he's got food, shelter, and clothing, that's what we have to do as a core group to make sure the core is taken care of. It'll spread to the rest. We have everything that we need. It's just a matter of laying aside
our ego.
Wait a minute, just talking as men. There's men on this song. We need to practice a conscious effort of laying aside our ego for the common good.
Yes. Okay, well, brothers, check it out. We only got 5 minutes left. It's been great. Brother Dolphin, I'm going to go ahead and try and hook up with you on Sunday if that's possible. Come on by again.
Yep, absolutely.
And I'm glad you brothers called. I'm going to be on tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock.
And Minister Dawood will be doing a show tomorrow night.
Beautiful. I'm going to come on tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock, and we can continue this conversation tomorrow, man.
You know what? That you mentioned about lobbyists, if you're going to be I just want to put this out there. There's a couple of brothers that was lobbying for Zimbabwe and got in some trouble, though, because they
didn't. Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
If you're going to be a lobbyist, you got to go to the if you're going to do federal lobbying, you're going to have to go to the Senate Secretary and the Congressional Secretary and get them forms. They don't cost you nothing, I don't think, but you got forms that you got to fill out and get registered, and every quarter you got to give them a report. And other than it's okay.
Let me add to that before we go. I think that's this brother out of Houston who's I've been working with. He's him and another brother in Houston. They were telling me about some new cats that they sent from Zimbabwe over here. One of them got in trouble with some domestic issues, so he's in jail right now. So look, with that being said, you know, thanks brothers for coming out. Hopefully see you tomorrow.
And, all right.
Thanks. Peace.
Peace out.
No people come to Jamaica, no know how we live things. Say everything nice to we full of vibes and things. Them same one feel it to them heart when them get to overstand the reason. Yeah, me day a town one day, I part with a white man we come all the way from Norway, and him turn to me and say, how come Jamaica full of summer school face? Same time me lift me head to the sky, and a teardrop fall from me high. Me say, man, you'd come with God for a drive. Let me show you why me cry. Look on the gully side. Do you see anything to smile about? Look at that hungry child, yeah. Do you see anything to smile about? Look at the cool that you them love to get them education. Do you see anything to smile about? Look at the conditions of our police station. Do you see anything to smile about? No. Same time the bread has said, how can the nation believe in this way? And the next thing instead, how can the government play so many games? Same time my heart falls to the ground, cause there's much more where that comes from. Certain places they are worse than slum. Youth man come and take a look on Riverton. Do you see anything to smile about? Look on Pienland, yeah. Do you see